much about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Are you ready, Carl?
Yes, Professor.
Now remember, after I throw the switch, it will take several seconds for the accumulator to build up. When the red light on the control panel flashes, you throw your contact lever.
I understand.
Oh, all right. One, two, three.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
This is the part where most people would say something crazy and drop the N-word after it. Not going to. Not gonna do that. I don't feel comfortable. I'm out.
Let me give you a little motto I live my life by. You gotta hit it and quit it. No ties. Tangle free. Nobody tells me what to do. I gotta go bang, bang, bang the drum.
What? That's not a motto. That's just you saying a bunch of things.
Well, that's a really hard question because,
whatever you've got to say, I don't want to hear it.
And now.
Now, you haven't seen it yet.
I have not seen it yet, no.
This will be your first time.
Yes, absolutely.
I am excited to see it myself.
Our feature presentation.
Let go! Let go! Let go!
All right.
That dude's getting a lot of play this season, isn't he?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yes.
So that happened.
It did happen. I didn't watch the game, but why does everyone hate Dwight Howard all of a sudden? Because he fouled out? Because he wasn't there to the end?
No. He didn't foul out. He got kicked out. But Greg, with technicals.
Technical fouls, right. Yeah. Because he was mouthing off, right?
Yes.
So they feel like that was maybe a bad time to not put in his best ever performance.
Yeah, it's a team sport, and you're letting your team down by mouthing off and getting thrown out.
What was he mouthing off about? What was bugging him so
much? They were fighting down there like usual. It's really, really brutal down underneath with those big guys. They fight an elbow, and he threw an elbow, and they called it technical. Mm-hmm. And then he was upset, and they called it another technical, and he got thrown out. And everybody's saying, hey, how about the team?
Right.
What about the whole team thing where there's a team and you all play together as a team?
Well, I'm sure that everybody was feeling desperate and backed against the wall, too, being down 3-0. I'm sure it was just extremely emotional.
Yeah, of course. I imagine it is. But then when...
But that's what you get paid for because you're a professional athlete. You're supposed to be able to handle that.
Arguably the best player on the court for the Lakers, you know, gets himself kicked out and can't play for the second half. And come on.
No bueno.
No bueno.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's over. I really am.
It was painful to watch, wasn't it?
I wanted them to lose. I was just like, you know what? This whole season is a disaster. Right. Let's just let it go and regroup.
Yeah, regroup. That's what you got to do. Absolutely. That's what I've been saying about my beloved Seattle Mariners for 14 years now, is just regroup next year. We'll get them next year.
Yeah.
I know what it's like. Speaking of sports, Beer Mug, don't speak up if you know, if you saw this over the weekend. I think Saturday was the day they had an unusual celebrity singing the national anthem at the Dodgers game. Did you see it, Muggs? You know who it is?
No.
Okay, good. Well, then you can play. I was surprised to see this person, and I'm going to play a clip of it for you, Kevin. And I will give you a hint. This is somebody that we know personally the national anthem at the Dodgers game. And it's also somebody who is not known as a singer.
Okay.
And that's why it was such a surprise to me when I heard this.
And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air.
Pretty good so far, right?
Yeah, he sounds good.
Guy can sing. Yeah. Anything coming to mind? Any thoughts at all?
Of somebody do we know him well or just from coming in on the show a bunch?
I mean, I think we know him as well as a person we've had on more than once that we're friendly with.
DJ Qualls.
DJ Qualls is a great guess. Unfortunately, not this time.
Gave proof through the night that our flag was still there.
Any guesses from producer Dave in the other room, or does he already know? Is he cheating?
Or is he not listening?
He
knows the answer.
He does that, yes.
Boy, who could that be that we know well?
It's a surprise. I will tell you, in a million years, I never would have guessed.
Allison Brie.
Allison Brie is another great guess. All right, you're about to find out as we get into the home stretch here.
Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the
One more guess.
One more guess. RZA.
Rob Delaney.
Ladies and gentlemen, wow. Rob what? Delaney.
Holy moly. Is that right? Is that based on the vine that he put up?
I don't know what it's... Maybe you're right. Maybe that vine of him singing Wheel in the Sky was him rehearsing to do the national anthem, but yes.
Rob Delaney, a comedian that was on April Foolishness.
April Foolishness. Here's how they introduced him.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we ask that you please rise, remove your caps, and join in the singing of our national anthem, performed tonight by a comedian from Boston who was the first comedian to win Funniest Person on Twitter Award at the Comedy Central Awards in May of 2012, accompanied by Nancy B. Please welcome Rob Delaney.
How crazy is that?
Nancy B can bring it too, by
oh,
the way.
She can. Oh, she's so hot. But Rob Delaney singing the what? National anthem like in a million years. I would never have expected that. And, wow. And completely straight. I thought, oh my God, dear God, this is going to be a nightmare because he's one of those guys who can't not be funny.
Right.
So how's he going to play this straight? But he totally did.
That's so bizarre.
I love it.
I do too, but it's bizarre.
It is.
Wow. That blows my mind.
Me too.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
How could you like that idea? It's a terrible idea.
David Boreanaz will be here.
Yeah.
Talk to him about all his various projects. We have Zach Braff on the program today.
The $2 million man?
Update on his Kickstarter campaign.
Let's see if he'll get us $2 million, by the way.
What's that?
Let's see if he'll go back on a Kickstarter and get us $2
million. Like
hey, you got yours, pal. Where's ours?
Just for personal use.
Right.
Kathy Griffin will be in the studio.
Great.
And we have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, like we always do on Mondays, to check in with what the dumb celebrities are doing over the weekend. And at 7:15, the only thing you care about, probably, is the lineup for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013.
Yay!
So that is coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
7:15 this morning. All the details you need to know on K-Rock's Weenie Roast 2013. We'll give you the acts they're going to be playing, when the tickets go on sale, how much, all the details coming up this morning. Plus, highlights of the White House Correspondents' Dinner. The president gave his very funny speech on Saturday night. You know, it's the best show on C-SPAN all year long, Kevin.
Tough competition.
I know it is, because they do have that book show. But the president had delivered some zingers. I think you'll enjoy it coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph is here, time for the Showbiz Beat.
Looking forward to the zingers.
Yep.
He delivered some zingers?
He did.
All right.
It's Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office and see what people were going to see at the box office. But more importantly, perhaps, what movies they weren't going to see. It was the case this weekend. The number one movie over the weekend was Pain and Gain, and its debut made just $20 million, but that was good enough to make it number one.
I saw that.
Okay.
Eh.
Okay.
It was okay.
Was it loud?
Not loud enough.
Not loud enough,
it would
no.
be better louder. Not so loud.
Okay, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't great.
Oblivion was second at the box office, $17.4 million, then 42. The Big Wedding, that horrific-looking thing with all those people in it, in its debut weekend, made $7.5 million. That doesn't cover the bagel budget for that film.
Wow. Four Oscar winners in that movie and 4% rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Croods was 5, G.I. Joe Retaliation, Scary Movie 5, Olympus Has Fallen, Place Beyond the Pines, and Jurassic Park. Top 10 the box office. Speaking of how much money movies are making, just an aside, Iron Man 3 opened in 42 markets overseas.
Oh.
Pulled in almost $200 million this
Yay!
Weekend.
Already, wow.
So it opens up here in the States this coming weekend, and they have high expectations, to say the least.
Are they doing a Thursday, or is it Friday? Or,
I'm not
do you know?
Sure if it's a Thursday midnight or if it's Friday itself, but... Okay. Those numbers topped what the Avengers did when it opened overseas last year. So, it's like good times for Iron Man.
Can't wait.
Not good times for Ronnie of the Jersey Shore. He was hospitalized during an appearance Friday at the Wine and Spirits Wholesalers of America convention.
What could have gone wrong?
He was there plugging his new cocktail line, Kevin.
Great.
Smush cocktails.
Smush.
Smush.
Okay.
Come on, they used to go to the Smush Room. You remember the Smush Room?
Yeah, sure.
You have your Smush cocktails, then you go to the Smush Room.
Drink anything named Smush.
You want Smush. We all want Smush. Give me Smush on the rocks. Apparently, he wasn't loaded, though. He had kidney stones.
Oh, man.
Doubled over in pain, had to be taken to the hospital for several days. His girlfriend, Sammy, was by his side while he recovers. They're still together. That's inexplicable.
Wow.
The cocktail line is quickly becoming the fashion line of douchebags everywhere.
It is,
that
right?
Whore started it. That whore from Beverly, Real Housewives of someplace, she started it with her skinny cocktail line and made multi-million dollars on that deal.
And then that whore that does the podcast that everybody downloads?
Mangria?
That
guy. Yeah. So every pseudo-celebrity now has some sort of cocktail line they have to put out and try to sell to people.
Right.
And, the situation has Sitch Vodka or something. They've all got some freaking thing, so...
You know, I think it'd be interesting, Ralph, and I think you'd enjoy this, too. We should do a phone-in topic one day on people who have invented their own drink, their own cocktail. Put something together and made their own thing that's theirs.
Does somebody else have to care about it, or just they like it, they made it, and they like it?
It may be, it just may be the type of thing that sounds awesome that we haven't thought of. You know what I mean? Because I've got a lot of people...
You're hard-pressed. I mean, if there's a combination of things out there, it's been thought of.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's how Adam came up with his Mangria. You know, he just mixed some stuff together that hadn't been done before, and people seem to like it. I'm sure you have a thing you invented, I would imagine, Ron. I'm sure you've tried a lot of different combinations.
Not really.
You stick with the standards.
Most cocktails have been invented. I mean, Adam just took wine and put more alcohol in it.
Yeah, that's true. So maybe it's just a twist on something or whatever.
Yeah, but there's so many cocktails that you'd be hard-pressed to come up with something, unless you're mixing, like, chocolate syrup and grenadine and with rum or some horrible combination
that no one
wants to drink anyway.
Would not be good.
Speaking of cocktails, friends are telling Star Magazine that Reese Witherspoon doesn't handle her alcohol well.
Is that right?
What? Hard-pressed to believe after the, you know my name. You're going to know my name. You're going to be in the national news.
You're drunk.
She's a mean drunk, sources tell Star Magazine. Not nice at all. That doesn't surprise me. Seems like a mean, sober person.
Yeah.
And her husband, Jim Toth, doesn't think twice about downing 3 or 4 martinis at lunch. So perhaps they were just a ticking time bomb waiting to happen.
The hour's coming.
The hour's coming indeed. And, I'm out of time here. Come back or stick around for about an hour because I've got the list of the top 4 or 5 most diva things celebrities do.
Oh, I love that.
Diva things by Paris Hilton, Kanye West, Paul McCartney, Jennifer Aniston, Britney Spears. Nice diva behavior we'll go over when we get back. Today's celebrity birthday is comedian Jerry Seinfeld. I'm 59! None of that happened! He's 59 years old today. Daniel Day-Lewis turns 56. Michelle Pfeiffer is 55. Eve Plum of the Bradys is also 55 years old. Carney Wilson of Wilson Phillips and her own talk show is 45 years old today. Uma Thurman turns 43. Rapper Master P turns 43 as well. And actor Tyler Labine, one of our favorites, turns 35 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joins us in about 15 minutes or so here on K-Rock to talk about some crazy stuff that's going on. And then an hour after that, details on the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2013. All the information you've been waiting for. First, though, you guys know this song by DJ Khalid. If you watch any kind of sports on TV, they always play this when the game is over. All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time love that song.
Sure.
But it's unusual to see the President of the United States come out after hearing that DJ Khalid song. Like, I know we're in the 21st century and we got a brother in the White House, but did you ever think in your lifetime, Kevin, you'd see something like that happen?
No, I did not.
That's
bizarre.
The President's new entry music is All I Do Is Win. And of course, you know, he's laughing because it's the White House Correspondents' Dinner, so he's kind of tweaking everybody a little bit. But he had some remarks about that when he stepped up to the dais on Saturday night.
How do you like my new entrance music? Rush Limbaugh warned you about this. Second term, baby.
It's a weird event, this White House Correspondents' Dinner, because no matter what's going on in the world, and you know, everybody's job is pretty serious, whether you're working as a journalist or working in politics, this is the one night that everybody gets together and pretends to be friends. And it's just bizarre because, the cast of Modern Family is there and Katy Perry is there. There's all these like strange people. Like, why are they at a party with the president?
Hanging
out with actual journalists from CNN and Fox News and the networks and everything.
And they just they all make jokes as if they get along year round, and they clearly don't.
Exactly. So, but the president always gets some good material, whoever the man is in the White House, and no exception this year.
I get it. These days I look in the mirror and I have to admit I'm not the strapping young Muslim socialist that I used to be. Time passes, get a little gray, And yet, even after all this time, I still make rookie mistakes. Like, I'm out in California, we're at a fundraiser, we're having a nice time. I happen to mention that Kamala Harris is the best-looking attorney general in the country. As you might imagine, I got trouble when I got back home. Who knew Eric Holder was so sensitive?
See, Biermark, because that's his attorney general of the United States, this dude, and he's making it sound, because he made you think it was Michelle. Never mind.
And then there's the Easter egg roll, which is supposed to be just a nice, fun event with the kids. I go out on the basketball court, took 22 shots, made two of them. That's right. Two hits, 20 misses. The executives at NBC asked, what's your secret? So, yes, maybe I have lost a step. But some things are beyond my control. For example, this whole controversy about Jay-Z going to Cuba.
Now, you guys know about that. Jay-Z and Beyonce, for their anniversary, went to Cuba a couple weeks ago. And, of course, Americans aren't supposed to be able to go there as tourists. And because Jay-Z is friends with the president, a lot of people were criticizing the president for that.
Right.
Like, how'd you let that happen? So that's his reference.
It's unbelievable. I've got 99 problems, and now Jay-Z's one. That's another rap reference, Bill.
I love that he has to explain the rap references, because you know there's a lot of people in that room, you know, 60-year-old guys who are like, I don't know, who is this Mr. Jay-Z that you speak of?
Just the fact that he knows that song. You know what yes. I mean? Like, the guy before him, George W. Bush, probably has never heard that song. I doubt Bill Clinton's ever heard that song. I mean, yeah. It's really kind of cool to have somebody who knows anything about pop culture.
It is unusual, that's for sure.
And, of course, the White House press corps is here. I know CNN has taken some knocks lately, but the fact is I admire their commitment to cover all sides of a story, just in case one of them happens to be accurate.
Remember how they had all that misinformation after sure. The Boston Marathon? By the way, that was one of those that you heard a little bit of applause there at the beginning, but there were equal groans in the room, too. They were like, oh, that kind of that hurts.
But the problem is that the media landscape is changing so rapidly. You can't keep up with it. I mean, I remember when BuzzFeed was just something I did in college around 2 a.m.
I'm not sure I got that. It sounds like a drug joke,
yeah.
But there's no such thing as a BuzzFeed, right? He's just trying to...
You get buzzed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine that's what it was, yeah.
But it definitely sounded like a joke, so yeah. People laugh, but I'm not sure I got it.
There are other new players in the media landscape as well, like super PACs. Did you know that Sheldon Adelson spent $100 million of his own money last year on negative ads? You've got to really dislike me to spend that kind of money. I mean, that's Oprah money. Sheldon would have been better off offering me $100 million to drop out of the race. I probably wouldn't have taken it, but I thought about it. Michelle would have taken it.
To say, and we already have, I think, one more clip left here from the president from Saturday Night, White House correspondence there. I have to say that the president's pretty good at joke telling.
Yeah,
don't you think?
Yeah, he's
because that's not an easy skill. I'm not good at it, but I mean, he really is able to deliver the material. Of course, he had people writing it for him, but I think he presented it real well.
I know Republicans are still sorting out what happened in 2012, but one thing they all agree on is they need to do a better job reaching out to minorities. And look, call me self-centered, but I can think of one minority they could start with. Hello?
See, because he's a black guy, Republicans reach on. Minorities. Conan O'Brien, by the way, was the featured entertainer this year. He did a good job. He was okay. Not as good as Jimmy Kimmel did last year.
Right.
But it was a fun event anyway, and it is replaying throughout the week if you want to check
it
out.
Did the president end with not as funny when it's your mom?
No, he didn't. That would have been a great close, though. Zach Braff back on the program today, the $2 million man, also Kathy Griffin, David Boreanaz, as well as your Weenie Roast announcement. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, literally just getting ready to jump on a plane. Where are you flying off to, Harvey?
I'm going to New York City.
Late breaking news? You following a story or what?
No, just a little business.
Little business. We know, like you do. Well, we know you got to go. We know you don't have much time, but you have the late breaking news on Farrah Abraham, MTV's teen mom, who is, it's a done deal, right?
She's rich.
She's rich.
Ain't that a thing?
She's rich.
She said on Dr. Phil that she would consider selling it, but only for much more than $2 million.
Well, she sold it for the high six figures, so she didn't get her two. But
she did get 800, 900 grand?
She got right around that.
Wow.
In that vicinity.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. So, I mean, you know, it's funny because we had a raging debate in the newsroom because her dad helped negotiate this thing.
Right.
And we were arguing in the newsroom over whether, you know, if her daughter did it anyway, should her dad try and secure her financial future by negotiating her porn tape for her? And there was a lot of debate over that.
Yeah, that's just awkward and weird.
It's a little awkward and weird, but, you know, she ain't going to make that kind of money at, you know, wherever she ends going to end up working.
Yeah, true.
What did you think, Harvey? You're a pretty level-headed, reasonable guy and a businessman, too. Did you think it made sense for her dad to step in there for her if he could get her a good deal?
Oh, I don't think it's an issue of good negotiating. I just think it's an issue of parenting. I mean, there are a lot of people who just think it's a really bad idea, and it sends a message to a kid who's already really damaged that, you know, daddy will get in there and he'll negotiate your business.
You got 800 grand, honey. You should make another one.
Well, that's what it will. That's the point. I mean, that's the message. But it doesn't sound like she listens to anybody anyway, so I'm not sure it would even matter.
Yeah, that's true.
It is weird, though. You know, far be it from me to care about the children of America, but I mean, what message does this send to another 16-year-old girl out there who literally, Harvey, is never going to make $1 million in her life at whatever profession she goes into, and she sees the way this girl parlayed getting pregnant into becoming rich in the course of a couple of years? It's kind of crazy, right?
I'll trump you on that one.
Yep.
I mean, think about Kim Kardashian. Think about Paris Hilton.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
I mean, it's the, you know, Fair Abraham's not the first person to make a sex tape. And, you know, the fact is Kim Kardashian's I was going to say pregnant.
Yeah.
Kim Kardashian's famous. And Paris Hilton's famous largely because of their tapes.
Yeah, agreed.
And you can't deny it. So, you know, it's not only a thing, but it's a way they made millions of dollars.
So, girls, if you're looking to be famous out there, go ahead and make a sex tape, right? Is that what we're saying?
Well, you got to have, you know, you've got to have the bait, you know, here I am giving the primer for how to do this.
Sure.
But, you know, you can't just come out of nowhere, so to speak. You have to have, in Paris Hilton's case, you know, she was already kind of a debutante, and in Fair Abraham's case, she was on Teen Mom, so, you know, there was a platform before they ended up doing it.
You have to have some kind of base of being famous a little bit.
And then it's a rocket ship.
Yeah.
And let me add to this, and then we'll let you go, Harvey, and that is you don't get nearly $1 million unless, for instance, the title of her movie is Farrah Superstar Backdoor Teen Mom, and that has something to do with it as well.
Yeah, I mean, all I can say is the people who have seen this tape are stunned because this is a professional.
Yeah.
Is that right?
No, this is a professional. This is not. This was a. This is a tape that rivals pretty much any professional tape you've
seen.
Wow. Well, is this the real artwork that you put up at TMZ.com, or is this something that you guys mocked?
We did not put this up on TMZ.com.
No, I'm talking about the box cover. Is that? That's from your website. Is that the real box cover, or is that something you guys made?
That's the box cover has not been made yet, but the video has been made, and it's pretty graphic, and she's pretty experienced.
If Farrah Abraham had done the back door thing, she wouldn't have been pregnant at 16.
There you go.
All right. Harvey, we'll let you hit the road. We know you have a plane to catch. You're very kind to jump on the phone with us. Anyway, have a great week. We'll talk to you next Monday, sir.
Okay, guys. We'll see.
That band right there, Cage the Elephant, they have done it. They have played the K-Rock Weenie Roast. Who will play this year's? K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013 is coming up soon. We'll have all the details, including who's on the bill and how much tickets are and when you can buy them in about 45 minutes or so right here on the world-famous K-Rock. Also, Kathy Griffin will be joining us next hour, too. I love her, by the way. She is awesome. And we'll have tickets to go see her at the Dolby as well.
Ralph was doing the showbiz beat, and he was telling us about LaToya Jackson and how she's convinced that Michael is coming back from the dead to haunt her. That he shows up at her house, and every once in a while she hears tap dancing, and there's a dog that barks at the window where Michael used to stay and just keeps barking, and she's just completely convinced that he's back and he's making her life a living hell.
I knew that LaToya was cray cray, but when I saw her the first time around on Celebrity Apprentice, I'm not watching this season, but the first time around on Celebrity Apprentice, I couldn't believe how far out she was.
I can't believe you just said cray cray.
Well, we thought we'd get some more information from Michael Jackson himself, so we asked producer Dave if he could fire up the hotline to heaven, and we've done it. And I believe we're going to reach out and see if Mr. Jackson is there now. Hey, Michael. Whoa. What's going on here? How are you, Michael?
Get out. I'm scary.
Yeah, you're not pulling this off, Michael. not scary. It's not at all scary. All right.
That's not scary, Michael.
I thought it was scary with the chains and everything.
Yeah, I appreciate that you're trying. I know. Michael, we've known you too long and talked to you.
In the mirror.
We've talked to you too many times to be frightened by you, and I can't imagine that LaToya really believes that you're haunting the family home either.
But I am haunting the family home.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
So you're showing up and you're doing the things that she said you're doing?
Yeah, sometimes I'll moonwalk across the ceiling, or sometimes I'll just bring in, like, the ghost of some sausages and make the dog crazy.
Oh, that's what does it. That's the dog. Okay, I got you.
And sometimes I'll just, you know, float around the room and move things around. And it's not hard to confuse LaToya.
That's true. You are picking on the weak one.
So it's fun to watch her go, whoa, what's happening? Go, whoa, Billie Jean is not my lover. Whoa, beat it. She gets very nervous.
I bet. She says that you used to tap dance for 2 hours every Sunday afternoon and that your ghost continues to show up and do the same thing.
Yes. Well, I'm a little lazy now. Usually I'll just get some chopsticks and just slam them against the floor.
But that's it? You don't even tap dance?
No, you know, I worked hard enough when I was living.
Sure. You don't have to stay in shape. You don't have to stay in shape in heaven anyway, right?
No.
Doesn't matter.
And I'm gonna haunt them all, I think, all the family. I'm starting with LaToya because I'm trying to, you know, rehearse the act.
Okay. Once you get it perfected, then who's next?
Next is Jermaine.
Okay.
He's a dick.
Okay.
Wow.
And then probably my dad, Joe.
Yeah, you hated him.
Yeah, he was a butthead.
Yeah.
And then Randy.
Randy.
Never cared for Randy.
All right.
Wow.
And Janet, of course, Janet.
Right. I thought Janet was your favorite. I thought you guys were very close.
Yeah, it'd be a nice haunting.
Oh, I see.
I'll make coffee for her in the morning and stuff.
She'll enjoy the haunting?
She'll come down, the coffee will be ready there.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That is nice. It's a good deal.
But LaToya's the best.
Yeah, well, she's crazy already before you start doing this.
Yeah, and it's also a lot of fun because, you know, I can see her naked.
What?
Michael, why?
She's your sister. Why would you say so?
I know, but it's like looking at a train wreck. You guys, it's fascinating.
You don't want to look at
all kinds of plastic surgery, and I think she's got extra parts. I think there's something not human attached to her. She may be an android. I'm not sure. Broken bits hanging off and things attached and hoses and clamps. It's amazing what happens there.
She was in Playboy a few years ago. I don't remember seeing any of those, but it's gotten worse.
No, I obviously airbrushed it out, but she's got...
Oh, I see.
I think she's a Cylon.
Oh, even if that's true, she's your sister. Yeah, why would you want to see her naked?
That's creepy, Michael.
That's creepy.
She's just barely my sister, really.
What do you mean barely?
I meant barely my
sister. All right.
It's not like you
so
to be
it's
creepy.
Okay?
Yeah.
I see.
It's like a medical oddity. It has nothing to do with sex. It's just fascinating to watch how they put her together. She's getting ready. She's getting ready to change now.
Oh.
Okay. Oh.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I don't like
this. Oh, that's...
Michael.
Wait. Is that a badger? What the... I can't...
Oh, come on. There's no vomit in heaven. Michael. Come
on. That's cray cray.
If you always wanted Kathy Griffin to announce the Weenie Roast, today is your lucky day because both things are happening next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous Q-Rock. Kathy will be here, and then we'll announce the Weenie Roast, and then it's on. Everything you need to know to buy your tickets for this year for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013 on the way. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, as you know, our buddy Zach Braff launched his new project on Kickstarter about a week ago, and he's doing very well for himself. He was trying to reach $2 million in a month. I was wondering how he was doing. So let's check in with Dave Sanchez of King of Mexico, our Kickstarter correspondent, for an update on Zach Braff's Kickstarter page for his new film, I Wish I Was There. Dave, what's the total so far?
It's at 2178206. He did it! Woo!
I just don't understand saying numbers like that.
That's how he says totals.
So over $2
million. $2.1
million.
Wow. Yeah.
In a month he won it.
Yeah, he's got plenty of time left to make more.
Wow.
So congratulations to Zach. Well done. Apparently, Saturday was the day where he kicked over the 2 million level. And now, of course, Kickstarter's become the rage. Between that and Veronica Mars, everyone's talking about it.
Sure.
Here's some projects you may want to contribute to. Under the Smogberry Trees, the true story of Dr. Demento. They want to do a feature-length documentary about the history of Dr. Demento.
Bean's probably already donated to that one.
I haven't, but I will. Yeah. I support that wholeheartedly. I think that's a great idea.
How drunk are you, Kevin, right now? How drunk are you?
You're drunk.
Yeah, if you want to go there, it's Under the Smogberry Trees is the name of the project. You can go to Kickstarter.com and find it there.
Ralph, you're with me on that. That's a great idea,
I was
right?
a huge Dr. Demento fan, yeah.
Yeah, he deserves it.
He's a fascinating guy and did a lot of good work, so absolutely. But I'm saving my money. I can't really donate to that one because I'm busy going to donate to The Average Homeboy Movie Pilot.
Oh, who knew?
That's right. Denny Blazin' Hazen is taking his internet superstardom. You've probably seen Average Homeboy, his legendary movie, his legendary music video. And now he's going to make a movie. The Average Homeboy movie. And this is just to raise the money to do a 5-minute short film based on the song Average Homeboy that they can take a rest shop around to get the financing for the feature length version of The Average Homeboy.
Isn't that just a music video?
No, but there's a story behind The Average Homeboy, Kevin.
How much does he need,
told.
Ralph? How much is he looking for?
I think he's raising $5,000 just for the short film.
I'm not the typical rapper that you'll meet. I don't live in a box, nor was I raised on the street. I get up every morning and make my own bed. I'm down to earth. I don't have a big head.
That's right. You don't have a big head.
That I'll donate to.
Listen, some songs... Remember Purple Rain by Prince?
Sure,
songs beg for a larger interpretation.
Right,
that
absolutely.
Song had enough going on in it that it could withstand a feature film treatment.
Sure.
I think Average Homeboy is a song.
Can't be contained in 3 minutes. Absolutely.
It also has enough going on, enough meat there for us to feast on for an entire 90 minutes.
For enjoyment, I like to shoot some hoops, but not until I eat all my Fruit Loops.
That's right. He's going to shoot the hoops and eat the Fruit Loops. Now, so please,
he's a rhyming genius.
Give till it hurts for the Average Homeboy movie pilot over there on Kickstarter.
Tomorrow is Kickstarter Tuesday here on the Kevin Beach Show. Let's get Denny Blaze on the phone tomorrow and find out what we can do to help him.
Hell yeah!
Right?
I want to know how is there a role in Average Homeboy for me? That's what I want to know.
There you go.
I play the crusty yet benign producer who's going to pick him out of obscurity and send him super skyrocketing to superstardom.
Turn him into gold.
Yeah.
Shining my car.
Average Homeboy.
Love it.
And who are the biggest divas in Hollywood? Well, Radar Online has rounded up 25 of them, giving you some instances where you don't have to be a woman to be a diva. You just have to be a douchebag. Here's the top 25 diva moments from Hollywood. Great stuff. For instance, Prince. We were just talking about Prince. He once asked London's O2 Arena to build a 5-bedroom house for him on its grounds.
What? Is he playing there a lot of shows?
He's playing there for a week.
What?
And he wanted to live on the ground, so he asked them to build a 5-bedroom house.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
His dressing room, of course, must come equipped with all purple furnishings, as you can imagine.
Sure. Of course.
Victoria Beckham requires that her food be cut a specific way, and fruits and vegetables can never be mixed together or touching.
What the hell?
Paris Hilton had a cameo in The Other Guys. She had 3 pages of demands in her contract, including live lobsters on the set. Live lobsters!
I'd kill him myself if that's cool.
Kanye West refuses to wipe his face on stage with anything other than Versace towels. Each set of those linens costs $400. You have to provide Versace towels for him to wipe his face with when he's on stage.
And he sweats.
He's a sweater.
Yes, he is.
Oh, is it sweater time already? Paul McCartney is so serious about being a vegan that he won't sit on anything leather. He won't ride in a limousine if it has leather seats. You know how hard it is to find a limousine without leather seats?
No kidding.
He won't enter a dressing room if there's any sort of animal print. Not even animal skin, not animal fur. If there's leopard print anywhere, he won't enter. And he'll balk and leave the room.
That's bullshit.
What a tremendous mo he is. Rihanna insists that there always be animal print rugs in her dressing room.
Just so the they'll never tour together
Paul
then, right?
McCartney will never go into her dressing room. Jennifer Aniston refuses to eat with any of the other cast or crew when she's on a movie. Sweetheart.
Oh, that's weird.
She's
that's
a sweet,
weird.
Sweet girl. Britney Spears requires 12 vases filled with magnolias in her dressing room at all time. A minimum of 34 Hervé Léger dresses and a full beauty team. That was just for her X Factor stint.
Wow. By the way, I hope Kathy Griffin is listening to this on the way in because you're writing your whole next hour of comedy, Ralph. Yeah.
And Mariah Carey demands...
Who's the craziest, I
she's
think.
She's the craziest. Yeah. Here's her demands for American Idol. An assistant that holds her drinks. She doesn't like to drink herself, so someone else has to hold and raise the drink to her mouth for her.
Okay.
Bottles of expensive champagne, along with bendy straws to sip the champagne out of.
Classy.
And lastly, a chauffeur for her dog. That's right. Her car, her dog needs a car and a driver. I would like to take a ball peen hammer to all these people.
Can you imagine the driver of her dog and him, like, look at his, taking stock of his life?
I would never stop feeding that dog X-Lax.
What am I doing?
Want another treat? Here's another treat. Here you go. And then wait for it to kick in all over Nick Cannon. Today's celebrity birthdays. Tyler Labine, one of my favorites. He's 35 years old today. Master P is 43, as is Uma Thurman. Carney Wilson of the band Wilson Phillips. And your local deli. She is 45 years old today. Eve Plum. She played the middle Brady. Jan, 55 years old today. Michelle Pfeiffer is also 55. Is there a better looking 55-year-old woman in the world than Michelle Pfeiffer?
So are we saying Belle for Michelle?
I would say
so. Yes.
Okay, because I wasn't sure last hour, but Michelle and Uma both. I was caught unawares.
Uma, I'm not sure about it. I think I'd go no on that one.
Daniel Day-Lewis is 56, and Jerry Seinfeld turns 59 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Moments away from all the information you need to know for the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2013. I know we're not allowed to say anything. I'm looking at the clock, Kevin. We have to wait like 10 minutes. We
right.
can't say anything. But can I just the tiniest little tease?
Well, I don't
just,
think we're supposed to, but...
Just a, I mean, I don't think I...
Actually, and you gave away our headliner.
That was a mistake because anything else now is going to be a disappointment. But we will have all the information you need to know for K-Rock Weenie Rose 2013 coming up in moments. Also, the lovely Kathy Griffin is going to be joining us, David Boreanaz next hour. And speaking of the $2 million man, Zach Braff himself will be joining us on the program in the 8 o'clock hour as well. That's all coming up here on the world famous K-Rock.
We found the best YouTube video of best DJ ever is what it's called. And this guy is trying, I guess he's trying to get a gig. And he's in his house and he's got his turntable set up okay. and a microphone.
It's all you need.
And but there's nobody else in the house. And he spends most of his time yelling at the crowd. Now, there is no crowd.
So in other words, he's practicing DJing, but instead of concentrating on, you know, his mix,
yes.
he's just concentrating on the hype man part of being a DJ, even though there's no people there.
And by the way, the hype man part of the DJ is just becoming more and more, that's what it is.
Yeah, it's the most annoying part of the DJ set, too, by
but
the way.
But at least he's good at it, and he's very, very disappointed in the crowd that does not exist. Which is odd.
What's good? DJ Kid Luke, behind the scenes in the studio, my own personal studio. I got the equipment set up right now. I'm going to show you behind the scenes what I'm working on. Come on back.
Yeah. Walks over to the equipment.
All right.
Uh-oh. Ah, yeah. This crowd right now is at about a 7. I need y'all at a 10. Here we go.
Okay, so he starts out, and within 4 seconds, he gauges the crowd is only at a 7.
Which is not there at
and
all.
And there's no crowd. And
he's
they need,
by himself in his mom's basement.
Right, and they need to up it to a 10 because he's not happy with the 7.
Yeah, before we get VIC out here, I need y'all to 10. We're at like a 6.5 right now. We need to get that up to a 10. I need everyone jumping.
All right, so now they've gone down. They've actually gotten worse. They've gone from a 7 to a 6.5.
Now, help me understand, if you're looking at an empty basement, how do they go from a 7 to a 6.5 if there's still nobody there?
I don't know. I believe it's all in his head.
All right.
But he's very, very... He's starting to get disappointed in the people that are there, because they're not there to party. And, of course, there's no one there. So then he continues.
Jump! 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 Jump!
Again, no people.
Right.
No, no one jumping.
No one jumping.
I'm the only one jumping. Out of their seats. Clear your seats. Jump. We're at about a 6.9. Oh. We need to get this up to a 10. Let's go.
A 6.9. They're making some progress. They're getting back up to the 7.
Why would you... I don't understand this video.
Why would
you... Why would you shoot a video of yourself practicing your hype man skills? I don't get that.
I don't know either.
He's not giving us any reason to think he's a talented DJ. I want to go see that guy.
Well, no. The music is unimportant to him.
I see.
Which is odd because you would think if it's a DJ, you want to check out what he's got. But what he has is skills with the crowd.
Yeah, I know we got some Travis Porter fans up in here. We're at an 8.5 right now. We're almost there. We need to be at a 10. Sing along if you know the words. Make it. Make it, make it. Make it. Make it, make it. Make it.
That guy's the best. They're at an 8 now.
Sing it if you know the words, nobody.
Make it, make it. Make it, make it.
Yeah. Sounds like your old air check, Bean.
It sure does.
Make it rain. Make it rain. Yo. We had about a 9.5. We got like 0.5 left to go. Let's go. I need everyone jumping.
Tough math there. 9.5. We got about a 0.5 to go.
That's awesome that he keeps such a track of his imaginary friends.
All right, we're about that time right now. We're about to bring out VIC. I need everyone's hands up. Let's go. Jump with me. He's about to clear the stage. Let's go.
I know we're not supposed to make the announcement for another couple of minutes.
Uh-huh.
But Weenie Roast.
I know. Dude, I hope this guy's opening. I hope he's playing the side stage. I hope the best DJ ever is playing the side stage.
Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble. Baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble.
It's good sound, too. I like that he's actually made good sound.
It's a quality DJ. Video.
Hey, big girl. Hey, big girl. Make your bag get up. Hey, big girl.
I believe we've heard enough.
Not heard enough of the greatest DJ in the world.
I think we've heard enough.
What?
I think so. I think I'm out. I think I'm done.
You don't want to be spoiled for Weenie Roast?
Exactly.
Is that the thing?
Why don't we take a break? We got a couple of quick announcements to make, and then we come back and get immediately into the announcement we've all been waiting for. How about that?
That's, by the way, that greatest DJ in the world is almost as good as... How
dare you.
PGC, I still love that song. From Nisi. Almost sprained myself right down there in the ankle every time I hear it. You might say it almost made my foot loose.
We're at a 9.5 now. We got 0.5 to go. Come on. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 19 minutes after 7 o'clock, so we're a little bit late, a couple minutes late. But it's time to announce the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013.
Fatima Sandra, that musical beach party game.
K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013.
Saturday, May 18th. Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. The Black Keys.
Rumors we've been hearing about vampires.
Vampire Weekend.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see them live.
Of Monsters and Men.
So listen to the
Jimmy Eat World. We're playing the K-Rock Weenie Roast.
Oh my God!
Silver Sun Pickups. Imagine Dragons. AWOL Nation. Atlas Genius. Plus, on the K-Rock Weenie Roast side stage. Fits in the Tantrums. The Neighborhood. Capital Cities. C2C. 21 Pilots. New Politics. K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013. Exclusive K-Rock Street Team on sale Friday at noon. Proceeds benefit Heal the Bay and Surf Rider Foundation. Presented by Farmer John. Because everything is better with bacon. Visit FarmerJohn.com.
All right, so there it is. K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013 is happening Saturday, May the 18th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. That's our venue that they haven't closed yet. Thank you for that. The Black Keys, they will. Yet, right. The Black Keys are going to be headlining. They're so, so great live, 30 Seconds to Mars.
I didn't hear Celine Dion once.
Oh, Kathy Griffin, I'm sorry to disappoint you.
I know. Where were the new kids?
It's not for you, sweetheart.
What's going on?
This is not the Bravo show.
Sorry.
Is Streisand going to...
Surprise guest. She won't allow us to use her name in the advertising.
Oh, my God. If Barbara Streisand's coming, that's going to be so great.
Give me just 30 seconds, Kathy, to get this information out, and then it's all you, baby. The Black Keys, 30 Seconds to Mars, Vampire Weekend, Of Monsters to Men, Silver Sun Pickups, Jimmy Eat World, Imagine Dragons, AWOL Nation, Atlas Genius, and then on the side stage, Fitz and the Tantrums, The Neighborhood, Capital Cities, New Politics, 21 Pilots, and Kevin, your favorite, C2C, is going to be spinning.
Love them.
It's going to be awesome. Tickets are going on sale this Friday at noon for Street Team members only. Yes, you have to be a member of the K-Rock Street Team, which is free. It takes like 2 minutes to sign up. You buy them through Ticketmaster. You can get all the information at krock.com, including prices. By the way, orchestra still $89 this year. Then $79, $59, and $49 are the other options. And again, the proceeds this year benefit Heal the Bay and Surf Rider Foundation. Kathy Griffin, ladies and gentlemen.
Kathy Griffin.
I have a note.
Nice for you to finally show up, Kathy. Lovely.
A note.
We were expecting you at 7 o'clock. How odd.
I have a note, too, and on mine it says Kathy Griffin, 7:05.
My note from my publicist says 7:20 arrive, 7:30 interview with Kevin and Bean.
Yeah. Well, your publicist is trying to end your career.
You need to fire your note writer.
With my big show at the Dolby this Saturday where they have the Oscars.
That's very impressive.
Thank you, by the way.
It is a great venue. It's this Saturday, May 4th at 8 p.m. Go to KathyGriffin.com for tickets. And also sign up for the street. What is a street team? I mean, honestly, what's happened here? What is this? That sounds like homeless people.
It's our people on the street. No, it's the promotion, the promotional machine that keeps the lifeblood of the station.
First of all, can we talk about your social media?
They get the stuff first.
I mean,
yes,
I twatted you guys. Yeah. I face-placed you.
Uh-huh.
You've each got like 37 followers. What's going on over here? I thought it would cause a lot of excitement.
We're not good at it.
It's lucky that we don't have that many followers because you tweeted the wrong time. You're going to be on the show, so it all worked out. Yeah,
I have a note.
Right,
your note is meaningless.
All right,
so Kathy, I know we're not going to. I know you have a very busy schedule, and you got to go off and do TV.
No, I am here as long as you want.
We don't want you that long.
Well, I have a note and everything, and you didn't even really put Barbara Streisand for your weenie roast, which I think is appalling.
I have a note. Didn't work for me in grade school.
My question for you, Kathy.
Your audience enjoys a different kind of weenie show. It's not like a weenie show. It's not like ours.
They
Kathy.
Love a weenie show.
My question for you is, how are you doing? Because we haven't talked to you in a couple months. And
I know.
It seems like you have a new man. You look very, very nice walking around hand in hand with your new boy toy.
Don't judge me. I didn't come here for your judgment.
I'm saying it's great for you. I'm asking how it's going.
I know there's an age difference.
There's an age difference? Why isn't anyone talking about that?
Your feigned innocence.
Why isn't anyone talking about that?
Do they know you have a police officer mustache, Ralph? Ralph looks like he's going to arrest me.
He does.
Or he's going to pull a 187 or whatever.
Felony tardiness would be the charge.
Oh, my gosh.
Kathy, the other day he said these words.
What?
Did you guys ever in your wildest dreams imagine that my mustache would be so cool?
Could you ever imagine it would be this awesome?
I have imagined it for so many years. I'm glad you finally broke the glass ceiling.
It's freaking awesome.
So what bet did you lose?
I didn't. I've got a little gig coming up, a little acting role, and they asked me to grow some facial hair.
Really? Yes. Look at you.
Tell her what it is, Ralph, because it's actually impressive.
I'm doing just a little tiny thing in Seth MacFarlane's new movie.
Fantastic.
A Million Ways to Die in the West. So
that is fantastic.
Going off to New Mexico to shoot
a
little
something. He is as funny as it gets.
He's a funny man.
Almost as funny as I'll be. This Saturday night at the Dolby Theater at Hollywood and Highland, formerly the Kodak, KathyGriffin.com.
Are you
tickets.
Afraid that we're not going to publicize that enough?
I feel like I'm in trouble for being late.
You're not in trouble, Kathy. All's forgiven. We're happy to see you. We love you. We always appreciate
your
visit.
I'm 18 years older than my boyfriend.
That's fine.
Go.
How did you meet?
Just go.
How did you meet?
Kathy used to be his babysitter, and then they met again years later.
And later in life.
And then that was
magic. By the way, this is for reals. I have some actual friends where he used to be her babysitter. They have a 13-year age difference. He used to babysit her, and now they're married. That's not a joke.
That's weird.
How did you meet your boy toy, Kathy?
I actually met him at a food festival called the Taste LA, put on by the LA Times. And right. I enjoy food and men.
So you're cramming your mouthful.
Of man.
And some food.
I'm always fascinated at how celebrities end up with civilians, because I thought the unwritten rule in Hollywood was that you're only allowed to date other famous people. That's why it's curious to me.
But I don't understand that. That would not be fun for me to be with a famous person. So I enjoy the civilian, and I like the civilian lifestyle.
Do you like the fact that you're more famous than the
civilian? It's essential.
That's what I think.
You don't need to share the limelight with anyone in this particular
Good luck,
case.
Honey. Good luck getting an inch of this limelight.
Good luck. What's it like for him stepping into your extravagant, glamorous life? Now, all of a sudden, he's having dinner with Anderson Cooper and stuff, and he's just a regular guy.
He has had dinner with Anderson Cooper. He has had dinner. The people he has had dinner with is everyone from Don Rickles to, you know, Johnny Weir. I mean, it is really a spectrum of people that he has had dinner with through me.
That just must be so weird for him, who a couple of months ago...
Did you guys know that Don Rickles and Johnny Weir are roommates?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, a lot of people don't talk about that. A lot of people don't talk about that.
That's interesting. A lot of people don't talk about either of them in any way.
You love the Rickles. Come on, bros.
Of course.
I know your bro world. I know you guys had... Did you guys just have
Rickles
some sort of
a
rape draft lately? Was there a rape ball draft?
No, there was a football draft.
Oh, is that what we're calling it?
Football, yes. NFL.
Whatever. Are you saying they still have football?
Yeah.
There is still football.
Well, no way.
They still have football.
Talking about,
I thought they were going to end it. It's so boring.
It's the most popular sport in America, Kathy.
Do they sing?
You've mentioned the Backstreet Boys and New Kids on the Block, and you're asking if there's still football? Those bands can still exist. There can still be football.
I'm just saying, if they're going to have that draft, at least they should sing in harmony. Okay? So now I'm the guy with the mustache? I don't think so, Ralph.
Some of them sing, and it's the best when they do, because
they're terrible.
They're horrible.
I remember the Super Bowl shuffle. That's how far back I go. Right. So I'm a Chicago Bears girl, and I remember someone named the refrigerator Perry.
Oh, sure. Wow.
So don't talk to me.
You actually named a football player.
I can roll in the bro world. There's going to be heteros at my show on Saturday that were dragged by their wives
and
girlfriends.
And where is that show on Saturday? I haven't
heard. That would be the Dolby at Hollywood and Highland, formerly the Kodak, where they have the Oscars.
I wonder where you can buy tickets for that.
KathyGriffin.com or Ticketmaster.
Oh, wow.
You want to hear a football player rap?
Yes, I do.
Terrell Owens?
T.O.
Remember that one? T.O.?
Yeah.
Here you go. Good luck.
Good luck to you.
Bad, I'm getting this cheddar. Bad, this time I'm a cowboy. Bad, and I got to say wow.
I am back with a business. I'm back on a mission. Got the recipe, bruh, so I'm back in the kitchen. Trying to take me out the game. People saying I'm missing. Got the whole world's uninvited attention.
Come on.
A brand new year. Got a brand new...
How good is
that? I'm giving you the slow clap.
How good is that?
The slow clap at the end of every football movie where the guy with one leg gets a touchdown.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Straits. You've really outdone yourselves with your T.O. rap and your draft and your ridiculousness.
Where's the straight hostility coming from today?
What's the hate? You're the one that was late, not us.
I have a note.
Were we late?
I have a note. No, you were here.
Okay.
You were here.
How's the show going? How's your TV show going?
I'm canceled.
I'm sorry.
I mean, they chose not to continue.
Oh. Because it was
supposed to.
If Bravo rejects you, it's got to be the end times. It's got to be the seventh sign of the apocalypse.
This is like the Pope stepping down.
Hoard
your canned goods. Hoard your hamburger helper.
Wow.
Get the purified water because it's all over.
Get the underground cave. Start living in it.
We have to take a break. I want to hear more about your pain of your show being canceled when
Please
we return.
Do.
Kathy Griffin is here. The Dolby Theater, by the way, which I understand it used to be the Kodak, but it's where they hold the Oscars. It's going to be this Saturday night at 8. Tickets available through Ticketmaster.com. More with the beautiful Kathy right after this on K-Rock.
And if you're just waking up because you're a awakened Baker. Here is the info on the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, and that is the Black Keys playing the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013.
Yes.
All morning long, we're going to be playing those songs.
Just announced Saturday, May 18th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, the Black Keys up top with 30 Seconds to Mars, Vampire Weekend, Of Monsters to Men, Silver Sun Pickups, Jimmy Eat World, Imagine Dragons, AWOL Nation, Atlas Genius, and so much more. Kathy, we do this a lot because the announcement just happened this morning. It's a very big deal for us.
It was very exciting to hear.
We have a very high audience, too, and so they kind of catch
they
parts.
They wake and bake?
Yes.
Yeah.
They catch a
so
part of it.
You have to keep saying it because...
Right.
Because there's like a 4-second delay to everything they hear.
Yeah. You know, would like the show probably that young man that you're squiring about town. He would probably enjoy this.
First
show.
Of all, what year is this that you're using the verb squiring? Okay,
well,
I'm squiring. I'm screwing is the one you're
is
looking
that
for.
What you're
don't
doing?
Act
oh,
high and mighty
yeah,
with
okay.
me.
I'm trying to give you the benefit of the doubt. I thought maybe you squired a little.
First
bit.
Of all, I believe I just referred to all of you in the commercial break as bitchy queens.
You did
because
you did.
The way your audience should really know the level of the intellectual content of the conversation that goes on. Between you guys.
Because it's so incredibly high?
Yes, it's just, it's
nothing. It's like a Mensa meeting when the commercials roll?
No, it's like I'm at Rage on Santa Monica Boulevard, and you're gossiping about this one and that one, and ooh, girl, she needs to fix her face. I mean, honestly, I'm at a Pride Fest, and you don't even know it.
Certain names
this
come
one's
up.
Got the Village People mustache.
He does,
I really,
true.
Ralph, I really
that's
want
true.
You to tweet to your 37 followers
how
another
dare you.
Picture of your mustache and just a close-up.
All right, I'm going to put the stash up for people to enjoy, because it is pretty awesome.
It's Anchorman quality. It really is.
You
could be in that movie.
You look like you could actually come to KTLA with me and just assume an anchor chair very quickly and easily.
Yeah, just do the weather.
Look, we're the first to make fun of Ralph for anything, but his mustache rules.
Yes.
But he is comedy gold. I do love me
he
some Ralph Garman.
No, absolutely.
Love him.
Kathy, what's going on with the rumors that you and your boyfriend, Anderson Cooper, are going to be maybe doing a television show together? That could be the next thing for you. Is that
true?
Oh,
that is a maybe. That is a maybe. We taped a pilot and had an audience of laughing people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know if it's going to happen right now, but I think they're making some changes over there at CNN. You know, the Tony Bourdain show is doing very well. But I also think we want to see our Anderson where he belongs. We want to see him doing the news.
Ah.
So they're thinking
on
about
Bravo,
it. I'm thinking
mean?
About it. We want to see him at the tsunami. We want to see him at the Hurricane Sandy. You know, we want to see him on a pile. And don't just let that
just let that go.
Could you just sure. once, please?
I'd like to see Anderson do more fashion, though.
Hey,
more fashion
what,
news.
What are you guys doing Saturday night?
I got a show.
You see this?
You're flipping me off.
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Can you just...
Kathy's got a show on Saturday night.
What?
At the Dolby Theater, formerly known as the Kodak, down there at Hollywood and Highland.
Why didn't you mention that?
It's at 8 p.m., and that's where they used to do the Oscars. It's a great venue.
What do you mean used to?
Still do.
Well,
it's the home of the Oscars.
I don't know. We'll see.
The point is, I'm kicking the Cirque right out of that theater, and I'm putting some...
Yeah, this is David Hasselhoff. Listen, I wanted to figure out how... To get tickets if I get down there.
Just KathyGriffin.com, I think.
Or Ticketmaster.com, that's
well,
fine.
Well, David Hasselhoff can walk right in the door.
Yeah, but where can I get them? I mean, they're like, KathyGriffin. Where is
KathyGriffin.com or Ticketmaster.
Yeah, we mentioned that a couple times.
Can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something?
David,
or can I just go down there?
Hasselhoff's always drunk.
Yeah,
confused.
And do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available, do you know?
Well, no, do you know,
stay
Kathy?
There are. There's the Presidential.
Stay at the Lowe's right there. Is that
There's actually a hotel right there at the Hollywood Highland. Yeah.
The festival from the Marriott.
Well, it's a festival of inappropriate jokes, Hoff, actually. It is. Believe me, it's going to be a festival in more ways than you know.
Gotta dance.
Gotta sing.
And when do the stuff really get going?
8 p.m. 8 o'clock. 8 sharp.
8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in, Dave.
Yeah. I'm so glad he's going to be there front and center.
Sure.
I really...
What do you make of him?
Hasselhoff?
Yeah.
First of all, I will tell you that I just saw... Best ever.
Yeah.
And I like the whole family. I like that the daughter took the flip cam of him chasing around the burger and stuck by him.
Yes.
Like, you'd think if that was you, you'd be like, well, I haven't spoken to my father. No.
No.
She's shown up at the Kids' Choice Awards with them. She's happy as can be. I did see him at an open house about a month ago.
You mean an open bar?
Well, it's relative. But I admit, I know David. He's a nice guy, as you know. When you run into him, he's very nice. And I
Seems
will
fake.
Admit that when I saw him in an open house, I kind of like dodged into another room. Only because it's kind of like when you see Andy Dick. You know, it could go well.
Right.
And it could maybe not.
Yeah.
So I just remember thinking, it's a Sunday. I'm in an open house. I don't know if I have what it takes to deal with the Hoff. But he's very nice.
He's very nice.
And entertaining in every way.
But he's got a car
ironically.
To talk.
Very ironically.
What do you make of the sensational superstar rise of Teen Mom Farrah Abraham since the last time we saw you?
Well, it's hard for me because I'm so Team Janelle. I mean, I really am fascinated by Janelle. You know what's weird is Ralph actually has feathers in his hair right now if he's going to see Kesha. My idol. Kesha, I love that girl. It's like... She's just like me. She's my idol. I can't go to jail because there's a Kesha concert.
Are you watching her new show? Kesha show, by the way?
I love the Kesha show.
Yeah, I figured you would. Yeah. It seemed like you're kind of your cup of tea.
What happened?
How did we lose her microphone?
Where'd Kathy go?
You know what, girl? First of all, now, is Kesha on your shite list, as my mother would say?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, do you like any females besides Tyra Banks?
There's plenty of talented...
We don't even like Tyra Banks anymore.
What?
She's the worst since she started opening her mouth.
Woo!
Oh, you don't like when chicks talk.
No. Her.
She should.
I don't like when she's...
Slow clap.
I like it.
Hey, congratulations on that really exciting football draft. That was really a real page turner.
I like it when you talk. I just don't like it when she talks.
No, all right, just tell me, like,
she's an idiot. She's an idiot. She opens her mouth, she becomes an idiot.
But I can't keep up with your hatred list.
Did you read Tookie Land or whatever that effing book was that she wrote for young tweens about the magical kingdom of models where you go on Model Mountain and
that
you become...
That sounds very inspirational.
It's not. It's horrible.
It sounds like if Joel Osteen was an African-American woman with a wig. I don't see the problem.
Kathy, we don't have a problem with women. There are a lot of women that we love on the show that we talk about all the time.
You guys are so bitchy. I can't keep track of who's in and who's out.
I'll give you an example.
That's why you like us, because we're bitchy.
Adore is Alison Brie, for instance. We all love her as much as we could love anyone.
She is great.
She's talented and smart and funny, and she's got all good things.
Aubrey Plaza? Thumbs
love her.
Up.
Very, very
love her.
She's coming to my show Saturday
night. Adore her.
Do you have
her?
A show Saturday night?
Yeah, it's at the Dolby, formerly the Kodak, at Hollywood Highland, 8 o'clock, Ticketmaster, KathyGriffin.com.
Is she going to get up on stage and interrupt you the way she did Will at the MTV Movie Awards?
I loved that. We emailed all night. I loved it. And I loved her reason, which was, I just wanted the popcorn. She didn't even want the award. I actually pierced her ear live on my now-defunct Kathy talk show, and I pierced it about an inch too high.
Ouch.
And I have to live with that. Yeah. I basically maimed her, and she's still my friend.
It's hard to believe they would cancel a show where you do live ear piercings.
Thank you.
That's what we need more of on television.
Why are you not running NBC Universal as well as Viacom Networks and then the other ones I can't name?
That's some good TV right there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right, live ear piercings.
Sorry, I wasn't watching every episode of Urban Tarzan like you clearly have been because you're living it. Are you guys into that, by the way?
Urban Tarzan is the best.
You guys, what's weird is I have a cheetah in my car.
Yes.
And I don't
You better call the Urban Tarzan.
I don't know what to do. I can't handle it.
Let me do this. This is dude.
Wait
I'm
a second.
Urban
this is a cheetah. Don't shoot a dart, because we're humane as well.
That's right. I can get that cheetah out of your car just by using love and food. I'm Urban Tarzan.
My young boyfriend is very threatened by Urban Tarzan.
Is that right?
Yeah, he thinks there could be a connection between me and who's the other guy in Urban Tarzan? Who's his buddy? The partner?
Yeah, I know. The big fat guy. Yeah. I can't
think of really? The big fat... You guys are...
Oh, my bad. He's not a big fat guy.
Oh, I'm sorry. We talk bad about people. That's what you're going to say? What you, Kathy Griffin, are going to accuse us of?
I am an artist. Right. And I'll probably be doing a lot of scripture readings on Saturday night at the Dolby.
Sure you will.
Although I might be talking about my latest run-in with Barbara Walters. Kathy, right. I really wish you wouldn't say bad things about me, Kathy. I really
hold that thought, Kathy. We need to take a break. Kathy Griffin is here. She'll be at the Dolby Theater this Saturday night at 8. Tickets available through Ticketmaster.com. But check this out. We're going to give some Kevin and Bean listeners some tickets to see Kathy in person right now. If you want to, call us at 1-800-520-106. And we got a few pair for this Saturday night at the Dolby. Kathy, will you stick around for the Showbiz Beat next?
I can't wait.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Strangest thing anyone's ever said to me.
7:55.
Tell them what we were just talking about, if you're so proud of yourselves.
We're talking about the fact that Kathy should go down to the hardwood floor. She should just strip it all bare.
We pictured her that way.
I think a landing strip is painful enough, you insensitive,
How much more painful can it be if it's just a landing strip?
The closer you get to the little, glorious area. The more it's I'm yelling at the Russian lady.
Okay,
just get it done. You don't love your boyfriend, is what you're saying.
Oh my gosh. Okay. First of all, you do your testicles, and then I'll go. What do you call it? Hardwood floors.
Hardwood floor. I'm just saying.
Home and Garden Channel. What the heck?
Pull up the carpet. You pull up the carpet and show those nice hardwood floors underneath.
First of all, whatever.
You watch the Home and Garden Channel, right?
Yes, but I also. First of all, since you look like a 70s porn star, Ralph, I would think you'd be old school Bush.
I am Manscaped. I am completely Manscaped.
What about the behind area?
Well, no, I don't pay any attention.
Did you know
that
a lot of
region.
Straight guys get their like butt crack?
Oh yeah, we do. They we do know that.
Yes, the first time I got waxed, I said,
who like movie stars? You mean?
I don't know, but I first time I got waxed, I said to the Russian lady, "So do mostly gay guys come in here or straight guys?" And she said, "We do more straight guys than gay guys, and they like to do their like crack."
What?
I'm sorry.
I can't imagine why nobody spent any
time
there.
Is that David Hasselhoff again, by the way?
Why would I do that? No one spent any time there.
I guess it's for like when you guys turn around and take a shower, you're afraid we're going to finally see it and go, hey, what turned the hinges? I don't know. Why do I have to do it? I mean, well, remember when a kiss and a hug was enough, for God's sake?
No.
Remember when you guys liked Tyra? I mean, I feel like I don't even know you anymore.
We have moved on. I mean
there was a time when it was all Tyra all the time.
Yeah.
The Tyra calendar and Tyra this. And now it's just me and my big show at the Dolby Saturday night at 8 p.m.
Tyra Banks is a big fat whore.
Tyra is a whore, a big f***ing whore.
So you got that.
When
got
we open a theme park, that's going to be one of the rides.
That's right. Hey, David Boreanaz is here. He'll be joining us
Bonesy?
After the top of the hour. Yes,
I love Bonesy.
Well, you're going to meet him in about 3 minutes.
What
first, though,
the
Ralph's
odds?
Got these showbiz bees here on
two
the
two guests here today. I have done both of their shows. What are the odds?
True.
I did an episode
Slim.
Of Kathy.
Because Bonesy and I have been around for a long time.
I did an episode that's of true. Kathy, and then I did. I just did a Bones this season, too.
Yeah.
My career is actually taking off.
It is on fire.
You know what it is? It's the mustache. It's the
I was
going to
say,
mustache.
Do not light a match anywhere near your face.
The magic of the mustache. Maybe,
was
I, should
your
go, maybe I should go
shot?
Hardwood floors. That's maybe I should.
I really want your testicles to go hardwood floors, because then you're going to be singing a different tune, honey.
I shave.
Oh, my God. Did you guys know Bette opened on Broadway last week?
bet who?
Okay. You
Davis?
Know what?
Betty
that's,
Davis?
That's really where I just emotionally check out. I swear, I can feel the hair in my nether regions just growing now because you don't know that Bette Midler has a show on Broadway.
Listen, I'm trying to do show business here. Do you mind? Can we stick to show business?
Sorry, by the way, I really loved you. You guys had your news. You actually had the nerve to talk about the Shia-Sunni conflict in Iraq in your news.
Our news
on
guy
this show.
Did that. Our news guy
it was
did that.
One yeah. line.
Yeah.
Well,
the Shiites and the Sunnis are fighting in Iraq, and now come buy a car at Joe's used car lot. I mean, honestly.
That's how we do.
We give you just what you need to know.
We just scratch the surface of everything.
I haven't even talked about his little under his lip. What's Ralph, what is this part called?
It's a soul patch.
That's a soul patch right there.
Like you're one of the Allman Brothers?
Yes.
What's going on
yes,
over
that's
here?
That's my goal, to be
can't
one of the
new
Allman
guy take
Brothers.
Charge? What's the new guy's name?
Beer Mug.
Beer Mug's been around for a while. He's not even the new guy.
Oh, I thought he was the intern.
You know, if you got here on time, you'd learn a lot about this show.
I have a note.
Right, let's let Ralph get to some showbiz.
Okay.
All right. We have no time. Here's a couple stories. Al Pacino celebrated his birthday over the weekend walking the beaches of Miami. People apparently were stunned when they saw the photographs because he was in a black suit and lace-up shoes.
Like Fonzie?
Walking in the sand with his girlfriend. Al celebrated his 73rd birthday this weekend in Florida with his girlfriend, who is 33 years old.
There you go.
Awkward.
There you go.
Super awkward.
Almost the same age difference between Kathy and her boyfriend.
I thought this was the David Boreanaz part of the interview.
Did
no?
Al have anything to say about that particular time?
Oh, I like a nice 33-year-old. Ooh, ah.
Nice.
Thank
never
you so
gets
much.
Old. I love it.
Amanda Bynes is
oh
in the news this week.
Oh, boy.
She has shaved half of her head.
All right.
I don't know if you've seen the new photographs that she tweeted over the weekend.
Yes.
She said her do is just like singer Cassie's. I'm not familiar with Cassie, but does Cassie have a half-shaved head?
I guess.
Yes.
I guess she
okay,
does.
Okay, congratulations. Is that everyone's goal?
Everyone's doing it.
All right.
You guys want me to shave half of something else.
That's
never
right.
Hurts.
That's true.
But then I'll take a selfie.
Kathy, how is this Amanda Bynes thing going to end?
I'm let me just be honest. I just taped my last Bravo special, and I swear to God, I'm waiting to edit it because I hope she's alive.
Oh.
Like, sometimes, I'm going to be honest, I do material about these celebrities, and there's a part of me that's actually nervous.
Yeah.
They may not survive the actual airing of the
yeah.
special.
Yeah, I have to go ahead and re-edit it.
I hope she's around. I wish her the best. I enjoy her twats on the Twitter. I can watch her pierce anything. She yeah. can
she
put
does
a stud in her forehead.
Right. She does seem to be on the Anna Nicole Smith trajectory, though. That's
she
my
fear
as well.
She seems a little lost, but also will twat against the haters, and then I'm kind of back in.
Yeah.
So when
right.
she then takes on
she
the haters.
She sue everybody, she says.
Oh, okay.
Sue
everybody
that says
you speak
anything
poorly
negative.
Of her, you will be sued.
Oh, shoot. I love her. Love her. She's
me
a role
too.
Model. Role model.
Shame you couldn't have had her show. You could have pierced her cheeks live on your show. You could have
Look, that was a mistake. Aubrey has forgiven me. I missed by like a few inches.
Inches is a lot in
near. It was like a traumatic brain injury, but I didn't mean it. I'm a fan.
Pierced her temple.
Okay.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Tyler Labine, one of my favorite actors, 35 years old today. Rapper Master P is 43 years old. Do you like Master P, Kath? You Master
I
P fan?
Am very much in the rap community because ASAP Rocky was on my show, and then I went and did his show, and I'm in the ASAP Rocky Vixen mob. I'm like a thug now. You guys
wow,
don't know
I
that.
No idea.
You don't drink it says a thug.
I don't drink, but I'm a thug.
Okay. You don't drink the scissorp?
Oh, I have scissorp.
Oh, sure.
I'm jacked up on scissorp right now. Do you guys have any Jolly Ranchers?
Uma Thurman is 43. Carney Wilson's 45 years old today. Her lap band is 6. Eve Plum is 55 years old. Do you know Eve?
How do I not know Eve Plum?
I figured you know
of
Eve.
Of course I know
she's
Eve.
She's an ex-groundling, too, isn't
yes,
she?
Yes, she took groundling classes, yes.
Yeah. Michelle Pfeiffer is also 55 years old today. Daniel Day-Lewis celebrates his 56th birthday, but he can play 40 to 70.
Nice.
And Jerry Seinfeld celebrates his 59th birthday.
Ooh.
He's almost 60. Jerry Seinfeld.
Crazy. You were on Seinfeld also.
I was on Seinfeld twice. I played Sally Weaver. And I found out.
Do you remember your lines?
Jerry Seinfeld is the devil.
Okay, good.
But I actually found out just last night, I wish this wasn't true, that when I was on Seinfeld for the first time, my boyfriend saw it live because he was a sophomore in high school. You're welcome, America. You're welcome, America and Norway. At least
Kathy
I'm
Griffin,
honest.
When's he going to graduate?
At the Dolby Theater.
The Phoenix Institute is an online program, and he's very busy with me.
Saturday night at 8 o'clock. Get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Kathy, thank you so much for coming
thank
in.
You,
good to
gentlemen.
See you again, my dear.
Glad you finally
Love
showed
you guys.
Up. Thank you so much.
I have the note.
Welcome to this episode of the Sports Junkies. In this corner, Ralph Graham, and over here, David Boreanaz talking the draft. Hi, you're on the air. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Flyers were disappointing this year, so we had to go with the Eagles talk.
Yeah, we had to pick something up. We had to figure something out in the wreck of the Philadelphia sports arena right now.
That's right.
It's horrible.
David, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Sean Carrick. It's been a while. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. Oh,
there's
there
no
it is.
Way, there's no theme way. How is your show on 9 years later? Like, no one predicted that, right?
No one predicted that it would go this long, but we just have survived, and it's great. I mean, actually, this is the end of the 8th season. We start the 9th season next season. So we're blessed. We have a great cast, great crew, and tonight's season finale, which I directed, is going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of intrigue, and someone's going to get shot.
I'm sorry not to know, but is this the first one that you've directed?
No, I've directed some before. Yeah. I started out directing when I was on the whole Buffy Angel crew thing. So I think that's when I first started. My first time directing was when I was shooting Angel.
Do you love that?
It's fun, but it's manic. I mean, I really feel like the Tasmanian devil. I mean, literally, it's you have to really be able to just kind of go at it. And you have so much going on at the same time. And I argue with David, the actor, all the time.
Yeah.
It's a constant struggle.
He's such a prima donna.
He's a pain. Yeah. He really is. Trying to get him out of his trailer. Trying to figure
notes.
Out, you know, giving him notes. And then actor David just thinks actor director is just, you know, he's just rude. Yeah. And has no thought for actors at all. So,
would you like direct something you're not performing in? Would that be?
Yeah, I would like that. Better? I actually did. We did. I did a few of that. I directed The Finder last year, which was a show on Fox that couldn't find itself.
It was a spinoff from you guys, right?
It was kind of not. It wasn't, you know, Bones New York, or it wasn't a direct spinoff. Fox just tried to be unique and say, "Oh, let's just make it the same showrunner and bring some of the characters in and use our show to try to get it going." But great cast of crew of people, but it just didn't work out.
Yeah. So, as most TV shows don't work out. I mean, that's the nature of the business. That's why when you're going into your 9th season as an actor, you just have to feel so blessed, because the fact that something hits and then sticks is so rare, especially these days.
Yeah, it is. It's a big blessing. And then for those that are like, oh, why are you still doing the show? Well, it's a job, and I love it.
It's a job, right?
And you can't take those things for granted.
Yeah, nobody asked the guy at the post office why he's still working at the post office. It's because I need to pay my mortgage. That's why.
That's very true.
What do you like about directing? And the reason I ask is because it seems super hard. Like being an actor is already hard enough. Why?
It's
what,
like
why
Charlie Rose. This is the Kevin and Bean show, not Charlie Rose.
No, but why would you want to make your life so much more difficult than it needs to be? Like, it's not already hard enough to do a TV show as an actor.
I just like the whole, just all the stuff going on, the whole fear aspect of it. I mean, this season finale, we shot downtown, closed off blocks because we had to shoot on a Sunday. We had a 400-car traffic jam, and it was this big action sequence. And literally, it's all about the planning, but why do I do it? I just like to drive myself crazy. I mean, good. At the end of the day, good. I like to feel that insanity.
I'm overwhelmed, but I don't know what to do with myself. This is
exactly.
Awesome.
I feel good about myself. You know, I just really want to, you know, sometimes scream, and I do inside and outside.
And if you're a guy who likes to create, though, it helps because as an actor, there's a lot of downtime. You're sitting in your trailer waiting for setups and stuff. But as a director, you're there constantly, you know, pulling all the levers and all the bells and whistles and making it happen all the time.
Are there levers? Do you pull levers?
Oh, there's levers. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Lever soap,
that's how
lever. It's all lever.
That's
everyone
how you work
wants
the puppet
the lever.
Actors.
It's
you have to pull the levers.
It's better than a hand up your ass, I'll tell you that.
Wow, really? Wow. Whoa, Kathy there. Just left.
There's
slow
that,
down.
There's that Charlie Rose show.
Whoa, that's a whole different show. That's satellite radio.
Now, David, tell us a little bit about, because I feel like you have created one of the great primetime villains in this Christopher Plant. Like a guy who's just evil through and through, that really when he's involved in a plot line like he is on tonight's show, it really shakes things up and really kind of gets everybody like on the edge of their seat, right?
Yeah, he is insanely insane, and he does it in a very simple way, which is a lot of fun to work with and a bit maniacal and twisted, and it's great to work with people that have that sense of freedom that's controlled. And I have a lever, and if I pull it, he just goes down the chute. So
this falls right into
he
the
falls
pile.
Right into the pile yeah. of insanity. He's worked out great for the show, and tonight he causes a big issue that a lot of people are not going to be happy.
Who gets shot?
It's like it's not the who gets shot.
Yeah,
I just to say people will get wounded, and there's a big heart that gets shot. It's a big heart.
Big heart.
The big heart gets shot.
Try to think if that's a clue.
It's a clue. Sure. Yeah, someone's heart down. Gets shot.
Big have heart. Have you big killed off many heart. Actors over the course of 8 seasons?
No. We've just
Every
lost
week.
One lab tech once, and that was Vincent Nia Joel Murray, and he was killed off about 3 seasons ago.
And that's because you couldn't get along with him on the set?
It's because he got his own show, and he moved on. That was it. That was the end of that character.
I was dead 20 seconds into my episode. I know that. They killed off my character pretty damn quick.
It's Morgan.
Yeah,
wow, exciting.
Morgan Donnelly didn't last very long in my episode, I'll tell you that much.
How did you die, Ralph? What happened to you on Bones?
I was shot through the head with an arrow.
All right.
It was an arrow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. That's a good way to die.
And then there was a sort of street artist who fell on top of me and on top of my body, and the adhesive he was using to put up his posters fused our two bodies together.
Oh, yes.
And they had to smear peanut butter all over him to get my carcass off of his back.
What the F is going on?
This show is out of control, isn't it? Really? This is not.
I was a stand-up comedian who was murdered, yeah. And I was dead before the episode started, so I knew that was good. I called my agents, and I said, next time, try to get me somebody who's alive.
We all die in Hollywood somehow.
That
it's just
true.
A matter of when your time comes.
That's true.
All right. We need to take a tidy break here. Actor and director, Mr. Big Time, David Boreanaz is here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Tonight at 8 o'clock on Fox is the new episode and the final. Is this the last? Wait,
season
hold on.
Finale.
Season finale.
This is the last episode of season 8. I just want to make sure I get it right.
That's correct.
And that is going to be tonight on Fox. More with David after this on the world famous. More with our guest, David Boreanaz, in the studio here on The Kevin and Bean Show from Bones in a moment. But first, did you miss the announcement of the Black Keys headlining K-Rock Weenie Rose 2013? That's coming up on Saturday, May 18th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Tickets going on sale for K-Rock Street Team members this Friday at noon. David, let me run this lineup by you and see what you think, okay?
Ready.
Because I know you love the rock music. You got the Black Keys. You got 30 Seconds to Mars, Vampire Weekend, Of Monsters and Men, Silver Sun Pickups, Jimmy Eat World, Imagine Dragons, AWOL Nation, Atlas Genius, all on the main stage. What do you think?
I think it's a great venue. All you need is Chrome Girl.
It's a phenomenal. Who's Chrome Girl?
Wait. Chrome Girl is a nail polish company that my wife started, and it's an amazing stuff.
I wondered why you're always tweeting about the goddamn nail polish. What's going on?
What a smooth plug that was. Brother's got to go keep things happy at home.
It's for free. It's chemical free. It's vegan, and it's really good stuff. I mean, how odd is it, though, that I am behind a nail polish line?
You are the smoothest mother effer ever.
So seamless. I could barely tell he was promoting a product.
Bean was thinking, Chrome Girls, that's a new hot band that I don't know about?
I know. It's actually kind of cool for a band. It would
and
work
Bean
nice.
And Bean hates it when he doesn't know about a band. So
yes,
I do.
Right?
Crazy.
Well, unfortunately, Chrome Girl is not going to be on the side stage this year. But
hey, we'll bring the nail polish.
It'll be
fun.
Right. Fits and the Tantrums will be there also. The Neighborhood Capital Cities, New Politics, and 21 Pilots. So that's a ton of music. That's like 15 bands or something like that. Tickets are going on sale again this Friday at noon. All right. Hey, I have a question for you, Mr. Boronis, and that is your little friend Joss Whedon, who's now one of the biggest movie directors in the world. Why didn't you turn your friendship with him and your hunky good looks into get one of those superhero roles in the movies?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think it's relative for people to somehow just go off and do their things and find the right energy for the right project. I personally, when you're working in a great environment and space and being so fortunate and lucky to start off the way I did and get a show and then you get a spin-off and have this cult like phenomenal kind of thing break out. For me, it was really about always just doing the work. And, you know, Joss and I, we never really kind of stayed in touch and
so you're not
with
texting
most
him
of
like
the people. No.
10 times a day going, hey, new project.
New project. No, I think that, it's just a relative experience. I think you get roles that are dependent upon where you are in your life. I mean, you can't really kind of say, oh, I should have called him and been in one of his action.
You could have been Thor
films.
Or something.
Thor would have been great, right? I know how to wield a sledgehammer.
You talk about your fans from the Buffy and Angel days, and I'm sure there was a time where you thought that you wouldn't have another role that would eclipse that. But the Bones fans are rabid. I mean, those people are such a diehard core group of fans. I mean, it must be a blessing to have that many people love the show that much.
Yeah, they're very dedicated, and they're a great group of fans, as are, you know, the whole Buffyverse and the Angelverse. They followed our, you know, the people's careers who have been on those shows and have gone on to be successful in other areas of their career. And they are a lot of fun, and it's widespread panic. That's a great band, too. Widespread panic across the globe.
They could open for Chrome Girl.
Yes, exactly. Chrome Girl. You know, they could open up for Chrome Girl. I've gone on to nail polish.
Have you ever been on anything that sucked, David?
Yes, I've done many small films that have not seen the light of day.
What's the worst?
Now, the worst?
Yeah.
It's hard to say. I think I did a film called The Hard Easy, but I didn't think it was that bad. And I was able to work with, like, Bruce Dern, which was really cool, and Vera Farmiga. I mean, great actors and actresses. It was a great script and story. It just was this independent thing that just really didn't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I remember really dyeing my hair blonde, and it looked orange with, like, white tips. It was just the worst choice ever for a stockbroker guy. It was so bad that it's hidden somewhere in the vault, somewhere deep. But, I mean, I did The Crow number 19. Who knows that one?
Oh, okay.
I played the Antichrist, and Macy Gray was in it, and Dennis Hopper, which I think that in itself was an
Dennis
experience.
Hopper, not the Antichrist?
He was that day, trust me. And it was a fantastic experience. My film resume can just go on and on. It's just, hey, listen, I'm ready for the breakout role. I just need to do two more flops, and I'll be there. It's that time.
But how do you not do a movie with Dennis Hopper and Macy Gray?
Right.
That's the type of thing you think about the rest of your life.
Wait. And Tara Reid. There's another.
Wow.
Exactly. I know. How do you not turn that down?
Talk about the war stories you came away with. I can only imagine.
It was a lot.
Well, I would be grateful for 9 seasons of Bones, too, if I had been forced to do a movie with Tara Reid.
You know, it's funny because when Angel was over and I had a year off and I did this other small film in Canada, and it was in Moncton, Canada, which was the lobster capital of the world and is.
You don't have to tell us.
And right? You're aware of that. And literally, it's like in the middle of nowhere, and we shot in during the October months in the fall, and it was supposed to be warm, a beach film, and it was just freezing. And these poor girls that were out there in bikinis and on their boat, it was not right. It was just wrong. It was called These Girls, and that was actually a fun role. I played a stoner dude who was, you know, I'll stop there. And then I got Bones the year after. It was after I had a deal with ABC, and then I was fortunate to get Bones, and then that thing just skyrocketed.
There was only a year between Angel and Bones?
Yeah. Wow. And then I read the script and I was like, this is great. It's like Romancing the Stone kind of characters. They help each other out and they solve crimes, and he's just a cocky FBI guy.
Right.
Which I loved. I thought it was great.
It's the relationship between you two that really key is the lifeblood of that show.
Great chemistry. Emily's fantastic, and the two of us have just, you know, created these two characters that love to just kind of poke fun, and tonight it's going to be a lot of that.
And they managed to do a great job of making that romance pay out and not sacrifice what was special about the relationship between the two. That's where a lot of shows run into trouble once they put their leads together, right?
Yeah, no, you fear, what are they going to do? Jump the shark and then you get married. You know, I mean, exactly. You know, are they going to get together? It's you know, you look at some shows that are on the air now and you figure out, well, where are they at what season in their relationship show? Then what are they going to do? So
I love, by the way, and maybe you hear this all the time, but what I think it's so rare but so funny the way you guys play it on the show that she's so much smarter than you are. You don't see that very often, you know, with not just, you know, like the sitcoms with the dumb husband. I'm talking about legitimately like way smarter than you.
She is. She's way smarter, but yet at the same time a little behind since Booth is very street smart. So if you couple that with, you know, she thinks she's really, really smart, but sometimes the simple approach is a lot easier. So she's
but how smart can you be if you don't know what Gilligan's Island is, right?
That's true, right? I mean, that's she doesn't know that.
She is socially handicapped.
She's really handicapped when it comes to the social aspect of life. Yep.
All right. Well, I'm sorry to say that we are out of time, David. It's been a long time since you've been in, but we're so grateful that you came back. Please keep in touch with us.
I will. Thank you guys for having me on
Bones,
the show.
Bones is going to be on tonight with a very special episode directed by David Boreanaz himself. That's at 8 o'clock on the Fox Network. We'll see you soon. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Playing the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013, Saturday, May 18th. At the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, it's the Black Keys, 30 Seconds to Mars, Vampire Weekend of Monsters and Men, Silver Sun Pickups, Jimmy Eat World, Imagine Dragons, AWOL Nation, Atlas Genius, and a bunch more. All the details are at krock.com. Tickets go on sale Friday at noon.
Yes, you want to be a K-Rock Street Team member, you can sign up on the website at krock.com. It doesn't cost you anything. And then you can buy those tickets when they go on sale. It will be a quick, quick sellout. So last Wednesday morning, Zach Braff came into the Kevin Bean Show and said, guys, call me crazy, but I'm trying to raise $2 million on Kickstarter to try to get this new movie made. And we said, yeah, good luck with that, buddy. 4 days later, he crossed the $2 million mark, and now he is at $2,183,718. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome the richest man we know, Zach Braff, here on the Kevin Abid Show. What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Hey, guys. Thanks for – actually, you're the first people I talked to about this, and so thank you for doing that.
Of course. No, it was our pleasure to help you out. I want to know, now that it's in the bag, now that you got the $2 million, tell us what you were expecting for reals, Zach. Be completely honest. What did you think was going to happen?
Well, I did a ton of research, and I realized that we needed a month – essentially, all we needed were 26,000 people, essentially, in a month who were into this idea. And we're over 30 in 4 days. People are just really excited by it. And all over the earth, I mean, all weekend long, you know, we sort of blew up the entertainment news, and people from, you know, people were having fun sending me the headlines from their country. So it's like I'm getting headlines from, like, Saudi Arabia and Germany and all across the globe, and I think it just sort of lit up a lot of people's imaginations.
Wow, that's crazy. It's crazy.
So you knew it was going to work. Did you think
no,
it would
I didn't
take?
Know it was going to work. I totally put myself out there. I mean, it would be pretty embarrassing if I asked my fans to rally and no one rallied.
Zach Braff is at $12 now. Come on, people.
I know. You have to admit it was a balls chess move. But I decided that I'd go for it because I'm so passionate.
Whoa! All right, you're going to have to use some of that $2 million to pay our fine to the FCC now, Zach. Thanks.
Sorry, I cursed. It's early in the morning for me. I curse early in the morning.
No worries.
Now, for folks who weren't listening last week, let me just say this briefly by means of explanation, is that Zach told us a story about how difficult it was for him to get the funding together. In fact, it was somebody who was not even in the film industry who put up a lot of money so that he could make Garden State made.
Yeah.
And then that movie went on to have great success. You made way, way more money than it cost to make the thing. So you would think, I mean, look, what little I know about Hollywood is that's how it works. If you've proven that you can make money, if more come, you know, is brought in than goes out, it sounds like you're golden for the next film. And that wasn't what you found out at all. Is you ran into the same kind of financial hurdles when you went to try to get this movie made, and that's what drove you to Kickstarter.
Well, if you've heard anyone, you know, in Hollywood will tell you it only matters what you did last year or last month or last week. And, you know, Garden State was a long time ago. I was on a TV show for 9 years. I tried to get other films made. They didn't work out. I had been in some films that were not giant box office successes. So, I was in director jail, I guess. And so, I was facing the exact same problems I faced when I set out to make Garden State.
That's so weird because Garden State ended up being such a great movie. You'd think people would remember that.
I have to admit, I was surprised, too. No, the fans do. The fan, obviously, yeah. I mean, the headline of this is that the fans do. But, I mean, in town with financiers, it was actually the deals we were looking at were worse than the one I signed for Garden State.
Wow. Wow. That is surprising.
But also, you guys, the industry has changed a lot. I mean, first of all, the other headline of this is that people are sort of wrapping their heads around this going, whoa, what is the, you know, the film industry needs to change just like the music industry needs to change.
Right.
And social media is revolutionizing the way someone can really just speak directly to their fans and say, you know, if you're in Guatemala or you're in Berlin and you're into this, you know, I can contact them directly because of social media. And that really changes the entire game.
We talked a little bit, Zach, when you were in last week about all the fans that you have discovered in Russia since you joined their social media out there. Did you hear from some of your new Russian girlfriends? Are they chipping in on the project too?
They're not necessarily girls, but you know, for those of you who didn't listen last time, I have a really good friend of mine is Russian, and he said, "You don't understand the following you have in Russia." And I said, "What? It never occurred to me." And so I wrote a couple of sentences. I said, "Do I really have fans in Russia? I love vodka and boobs." And he translated into perfect Russian, and it was like retweeted like over 3,000 times. So then I went to their, they have a big social media site of their own called VK. And I joined, and then, like, you know, within joining, I think I'm up to, like, 30,000 fans on that site.
That's crazy.
In Russia. So, but as you explained last week, now you have people you can talk to in the middle of the night. When you've got the insomnia and all your friends here are asleep, you've
That's
got somebody
I
to talk to,
which
is awesome.
I can't sleep for anything because, you know, obviously now my brain is, like, spinning and so excited about this. I can't sleep, so I reach out to my Russian fans.
Is there extra pressure knowing that your fans are the ones that are putting up the money?
Of course. I have to deliver. Well, I'm putting up my money, too, but I have to deliver for these people that believed in me, and of course there's always a lot of pressure. But anytime you do anything in Hollywood, there's a lot of pressure. Everyone's looking at you. Everyone would love to see you fall on your butt. And
right.
I know how it works. I'm ready to step up to the plate for them.
Now, people can still donate, of course. The Kickstarter page is going to remain active for, what, like another 24 days or some 25 days, something like that?
Yeah.
And you do still have some items that people can get. They can still get copies.
More because here's the thing. The more money we have to make the movie, the more, you know, badass the movie's going to be. And the demand all weekend long, I mean, there's only three of us working on this, and all weekend long, it's at a screening here, at a screening there. And so I can announce to you, not that, you know, that we're adding Atlanta this morning.
Oh, great. Wow. Well, and what Zach's talking about is a screening before the movie opens with Zach in attendance,
yeah,
so everybody gets a chance,
you know,
to
because,
meet him.
Yeah, because as a film lover myself, I love to go see, and as someone in Hollywood, I have a chance to go see often the film early and then watch a Q&A with the filmmaker, and I always love that. So what we're doing for people is, if you're in a certain city, we're selling tickets to see the movie way early, and then I'll do a Q&A of the movie after the movie.
So you're doing London and Los Angeles and New York, and now you're adding Atlanta, too.
Toronto. I mean, the thing. I mean, we're probably going to add Berlin, Paris. I mean, you won't believe the response to this.
That's
amazing.
Probably
going to add Berlin. When we're just figuring out the logistics, we're going to add Berlin, Rome, Paris.
This is like you're a band and you're going on a world tour.
I know. I feel like I'm Chris Martin this morning.
Now, let me ask you one more question, Zach, and I will phrase this delicately, but you mentioned you're throwing in some of your own money, too,
yeah,
which you told us at the time last week, too. You are internet savvy enough to know that there was a certain amount of backlash
of course,
a result of you being a well-known person using Kickstarter, and there are a lot of people out there who said, and I don't think fairly, they said, hey, that's not what Kickstarter is for. It's for me trying to get my crappy garage band and make music that way. They said, you have resources.
Well,
why are you going to Kickstarter?
I want to correct you already. Kickstarter is amazing, and I've supported six different projects there myself, and it is a revolutionary idea for supporting all sorts of innovation, whether it be in gadgetry or art or wherever you can think of. There are a genius number of talented people on there. I think to those people who criticize me for using it, they need to know that the highest traffic day that website has had in its history was the day we launched this campaign. Mm-hmm. And we're bringing thousands and thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people to Kickstarter to discover it. You know, if you're web savvy, then you know about crowdsourcing.
Right.
If you're not,
right,
this was the first time you ever heard of it. And so I say to people, because we have all the analytics, how many people we brought to this amazing website for the very first time.
So you're saying then a rising tide raises all boats, basically. It's good for you and it's good for everybody on Kickstarter.
I think anyone who doesn't see that this is the way of indie cinema going this way and all you know entertainment that isn't made by studios or giant corporations isn't keeping up. This is the wave of the future. You could love it or hate it, but I think it's pretty amazing that you can target directly your fans and say, you know, the thing about it also is, you know, when you reach out to people who are just your fans, you're also going to get heard by people who don't like you at all, and so that's fine. You have to deal with that because you're trying to send a sort of a bat signal out to your fan base.
Well, we're so proud of you, Zach, and we congratulate you.
Thank you. And I know you guys are big supporters of Kickstarter even before this, so yeah, I really want to give you a props for that. Thank you.
Absolutely. We're so grateful that it worked out, like you said, that you're not walking around hanging your head for the next 5 years as the guy who couldn't raise any money on Kickstarter. When do you think you might start making Wish I Was Here?
We're officially making the movie. We're going to prep in June and July, and we'll shoot in August.
Wow. That's awesome. All right, you can go to KROQ.com, by the way, the Kevin and Bean page, for a direct link, or just remember Zach Braff and Kickstarter. If you put that in your Google, his page will come up, and it's very funny with lots of great perks. If you want to help support this independent movie, which sounds so, so funny, Wish I Was Here is what it's called. Zach, we appreciate the time.
Thank you guys so much. Please keep in touch, my friend.
Thank you so much. Bye. Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday morning Kevin and Bean show. What's going on, Ralph?
Real quickly, I want to give people a heads up. Hollywood Babylon's been gone for a couple weeks, and people were asking what was happening. So I just want to let you know we're returning to the Laugh Factory in Long Beach this weekend, Saturday night at 10. You can come see Kevin Smith and I, the reinvented Hollywood Babylon. We're coming back, and then we're going to move after this weekend to our brand new home, which will be the Hollywood Improv on Melrose.
Oh, that's
going to be our new home. Yeah. Things went sour with the Lovitz.
Uh-oh.
So this Saturday we'll be telling that story. If you want to hear about it, you can come by the Laugh Factory in Long Beach and we'll fill you in on what happened. But it was
you've been there a long time, Ralph. I thought that was a match made in heaven, you guys.
Acting, thank you.
So there's a whole long sordid tale behind that.
Say what?
Okay, Rock microphones were there.
Audio from the last show.
Yeah, exactly. So, Long Beach Laugh Factory this weekend, then starting the following weekend. I don't know if it's the following weekend. Later in the month, it's Hollywood Improv. Hollywood Improv is going to be the new home of the Babylon show. So, good times. Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Pain and Gain, number one, $20 million in its debut. Made it number one at the box office. Oblivion was second. 42 was third. Then the other film debuting this weekend, The Big Wedding. Robert De Niro, Diane Keaton, Amanda Seyfried. Big cast.
Yeah.
Nope. $7.5 million.
Wow.
Nobody went. Croods was fifth. G.I. Joe Retaliation was sixth. Scary Movie, five. Olympus Has Fallen, Place Beyond the Pines, and Jurassic Park. Your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Good news, fellas. Joe Simpson is single.
All right.
Yeah.
Was that good news for the fellas?
He's looking to mingle. Because, you know, Joe and his wife, Tina, parents of Jessica and Ashley Simpson, have officially divorced after 34 years of wedded bliss. And the story is that Joe was interested in pursuing some sexual alternatives.
Right.
Although he's denying that was the reason for the split, saying that's not the case at all. So I'll leave it to you to find out, boys. You're on your own. But get back to us, will you, and let you know how that goes. Charlie Sheen is out to save young Hollywood. He's already given Lindsay $100,000 to pay back her taxes. And now he is reportedly reaching out to Amanda Bynes. Said he would like to give her a guest shot on his show, Anger Management, to get her out of retirement and back at work and perhaps give her a little focus in her life and what's going on. I think that'd be a match made in heaven. Amanda Bynes and Charlie Sheen.
You know what's weird, Ralph, is usually when somebody gets involved in the middle of a tabloid story or out of the blue starts doing something nice, usually they're doing it for their image or they're doing it for some sort of reason that makes them look good. Don't you get the feeling I do that Charlie Sheen is just a nice guy and is just trying to help?
I do.
I don't feel like he's trying to make this about him or capitalize on it somehow. I don't know. It's an interesting thing that's happening with him.
I do think it's become a bit of a hobby for him to sort of reach out to people and see what he can do.
We are hype.
What happened? That's nothing. All you got?
Nope. Keep going.
Relabel
that.
It was... So not only celebrities, but he's also paid funeral expenses for families and helped out with cancer patients and everything. He's become very magnanimous, which is to his credit.
He's like one of those rich people that you don't think exists anymore who really just have no problem giving away money to people he thinks needs it.
Maybe he can reach out to former co-star Angus T. Jones. It has been announced that while Two and a Half Men has been renewed for next season, he won't be a regular on the show.
How's it still Two and a Half then? Isn't he the half?
He is the half. Guess it's just we two men. No? This makes sense because remember he publicly denounced the show as filth last November? Remember he went in with his his new Christian buddy? He got in front of a video camera and started talking about how it was. Look, I don't watch it. I don't watch it. And I'm on it. It's garbage. It's filth. The devil works his way through sitcoms or some madness.
Two and a Half Men. If you watch Two and a Half Men, please stop watching Two and a Half Men. I'm on Two and a Half Men. I don't want to be on it. Please stop watching it.
So they didn't want him back forever after that?
Well, they probably apologized and reportedly reconciled with CBS, but Warner Brothers apparently taking the show in a different direction.
He was a pussy.
So he may come back periodically, do an episode here or there.
That's funny.
Wonder how his God feels about him passing up $350,000 a week.
Did God want you to be getting? Poor?
Yeah, he was getting $350,000 per episode. If that's filth, then just let me roll around in the filth and just get as filthy as I possibly can.
Wow.
I want to get dirty.
How come Two and a Half Men can take their show in a different direction without Angus T. Jones, yet we have to go in the same direction forever on the Kevin and Bean Show with Beer Mug?
I know.
Why can't we take the show in a different direction, a Beer Mug-free direction?
Maybe if Beer Mug gets on video saying our show is filth and he doesn't listen to it, maybe then people will finally...
Work on that, would you?
Done.
Someone will take
Fire Beer Mug.
Today's celebrity birthday is Tyler Labine, 35 years old today. I miss him on my TV screen. Remember Reaper? Loved him.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, he was great on that show. Then...
What? Oh, nope.
You guys know that.
Nope.
I'm afraid of
no,
that.
Sir. No, sir.
It scares me.
No, sir.
Bean?
Nope. No, sir.
Don't fear the Reaper.
Nope.
Thank you very much.
Master P is 43, as is Uma Thurman. Carney Wilson of Wilson Phillips and her various talk shows, 45 years old. Eve Plum, one of the Brady girls. She was Jan Brady. 55 years old today. Michelle Pfeiffer is also 55. Daniel Day-Lewis is 56. And Jerry Seinfeld celebrates his 59th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
That is the latest from Fitz and the Tantrums here on the world-famous K-Rock. They are playing the side stage for the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2013, just announced this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show, along with the Neighborhood, Capital Cities, New Politics, and 21 Pilots, headlining the Black Keys, along with 30 Seconds to Mars, Vampire Weekend, Of Monsters and Men, Silver Sun Pickups, Jimmy Eat World, Imagine Dragons, AWOL Nation and Atlas Genius, and DJ set from C2C. So many bands, I can't say them all in one breath, by the way. That's how you know it's a packed lineup. Tickets are going on sale this Friday at noon for K-Rock Street Team members. Get all the details at krock.com. Are you wearing tights, Ralph? What's going on? Why are you in here with tights and a cape? What's happening?
Because I'm a superhero, and I'm getting ready for the Cape Town Film Festival. Cape Town! Get it? It's Cape Town!
We're going to South Africa?
Oh, where are we? What's... Gilligan, we'll never get off this island.
It starts tomorrow. Oops, that's the wrong button. It starts tomorrow and goes all the way till May the 6th at the Egyptian Theater. We are very excited to welcome back to the show our friend Jeff Boucher. He is a writer for Entertainment Weekly, but we talked to you for years with the Los Angeles Times. Is this an upgrade for you, Jeff?
I hope so. Well, I'll
but newspapers are forever. What are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I have all my money in travel agencies and typewriters. It's fantastic.
Jeff did great work over there at the Hero Complex, which was sort of the sci-fi comic book column over there at the LA Times. And now you're with EW and this film festival. Jeff, not only do you have an amazing lineup of films, but the guests that you have locked in to talk about these films are nuts.
Yeah. I'm so happy with the folks that we got. And, you know, we did it pretty quick. But you're right, they're an impressive group. I mean, Leonard Nimoy is coming out of retirement for Star Trek for our finale on Monday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tell us, by the way, Jeff, your sit-down interview with Nimoy I thought was brilliant, outstanding.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it was really, really good stuff. You can find that online. Great, great interview with Leonard Nimoy. But you've also got Iron Man 3 kicking off your festival tomorrow.
Yeah, we're showing it for free. Tomorrow, it's full. Please don't come down, everybody. Please stop. Turn away. Go back.
You already have enough people?
Yeah, we got more than we need. More than we need. But we got that, and then we also, the thing I'm really excited about is on Friday night, Escape from New York with Kurt Russell, because if you don't like Snake Plissken, I don't trust you.
Yeah.
He's the best.
You're no friend of ours.
You got also Edgar Wright bringing us Shaun of the Dead, one of the great comedy zombie movies of all time.
Totally.
Speaking of Kurt Russell, you got The Thing with John Carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
What a great lineup of films. Return of the Jedi.
Yes, with surprises.
What does that mean?
Surprises.
What are the surprises?
It's not going to be Wicket the Ewok, is it? It means he doesn't have anything.
No, okay.
that's a surprise.
Somebody's getting keistered with a lightsaber. That's all I can tell you. That's what's going to happen.
So what's the format on these nights? You know, like, for instance, Wednesday night, people want to see Shaun of the Dead. Do they show the movie, and then you sit down with Edgar Wright and interview him and do a Q&A with the crowd?
Yeah, essentially. That one's a special night because we're doing two movies with Edgar, but they're going to be seated separately. There's no, like, screening pass. You just, you know, buy a ticket for each screening. And we're going to show Shaun of the Dead, and I'm going to talk to Edgar, and he's going to show a preview of the new film, the third in the trilogy, The World Ends. And then we'll sort of empty the theater, and then we start over with Scott Pilgrim. But we'll have a pretty cool cast reunion with that one. So we're going to open with them before the film in that case.
Gotcha.
Goonies, 12 Monkeys, Coraline, Despicable Me. It's just a great lineup. Is this the first year for this, Jeff? I'm not familiar with this festival.
Yeah. You know, as you guys had said, I was at Hero Complex for the LA Times. I did a festival over there for 3 years, and then I ran out of the building with security right behind me and ran straight over to EW. Actually, I took the job at EW like probably about 72 hours after I left the paper. And one of the things they said is, you know, we love the live events you do. See if you can, you know, do a festival for May.
You're like, all right, I'm in.
By the way, why do I hear so much on my TV about how hard it is to get a job in this country now with terrible unemployment when you're out of work for a weekend? I mean, what's up?
I really can't answer that question.
Just talented.
Yeah, it's got it going on.
It's a difference.
So it starts tomorrow night with Iron Man. Jeff says, come on down. Plenty of seats available.
No,
if you want to see Iron
Man. The opposite of being.
He said they have enough people.
And then Shaun of the Dead on Wednesday night, The Thing on Thursday night, Escape from New York on Friday, and then all day Saturday is Return of the Jedi, and then Sunday, Despicable Me, Coraline, The Goonies, 12 Monkeys, and then Monday, Star Trek. That's a phenomenal lineup. How do people get tickets? Is that the Egyptian Theater? Is that where you go to buy tickets?
You know, the easiest thing is Fandango, probably. You just go in there, and the whole festival will be there, or you can go to the Egyptians website. Or follow me on Twitter, and we're going to be giving away tickets as well. It might be the easiest way to get in. A lot of the screenings are sold out.
Okay.
Of course, Saturday is Star Wars Day. That's why you guys are showing Return of the Jedi, right?
It is. May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th!
There it is.
See what you did with the tie-in?
Come on.
You know what's really cool is that it is 30 years to the weekend after Return of the Jedi premiered at the Egyptian.
Wow. That's awesome.
So we got some mojo going on.
Some symmetry, yeah. Hey, listen, Jeff, we're going to be down at Comic-Con this year. We're broadcasting for 2 days this year, and I know you're going to be down there. If you have the chance, pencil in some time for us. We can catch up and talk some more then, if that's all right.
Well, as long as Ralph is there. I mean, I want to be his... I was going to say his Burt Ward, but that just makes me nervous.
It should make you nervous.
It should make you nervous.
You're the only guy busier than I am at that weekend, Jeff, running around doing your panels and stuff. But always good to see you down there.
It's always good seeing you, man.
All right. You can read Jeff in Entertainment Weekly at EW.com. And if you want to follow him on Twitter for the updates on the festival and maybe to get some free tickets, too, it's Jeff Boucher, and that's spelled all wrong. Both words are just spelled all wrong. G-E-O-F-F, like that's a thing, and Boucher is B-O-U-C-H-E-R. You cheese-eating surrender monkey, you. All right, Jeff, thank you for the time, sir. We appreciate it.
See you guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37.
And today is the day, as you know, that we made the announcement for the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2013. That's why you're hearing all these awesome songs from awesome bands like that one, The Neighborhood, Sweater Weather. You can get all the details at krock.com about how to make sure you're able to buy your tickets Friday at noon when they go on sale. It's going to be another great show this year, May 18th at Verizon. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Monday morning.
Real quickly, just a little while ago, we were talking to our buddy Jeff Boucher about the Entertainment Weekly Cape Town Film Festival at the Egyptian Theater in Hollywood.
Sounds awesome.
It does. It's got a great lineup. I haven't seen the Thing in so long. I love that film, the John Carpenter version. And, of course, Escape from New York with Kurt Russell. Great lineup of guests, including Edgar Wright, one of my favorite directors. And he'll be showing his film, Shaun of the Dead. And they're also going to be doing a screening later, they said, of...
That's a great movie.
Scott Pilgrim. But Shaun of the Dead is great. If you'd like to attend the screening of Shaun of the Dead with a Q&A with Edgar Winter. I got some tickets from the good people at Entertainment Weekly and the Cape Town Film Festival. I've got two pairs right now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call if you want to see Shaun of the Dead on May the 1st, along with a Q&A with Edgar Wright. Come on down. 1-800-520-1067. First two callers will win those tickets. And I'll be giving away tickets to the rest of the festival all week long. So make sure you stay tuned. And if you want to buy tickets, you can go to Fandango.com. You can check it out. All right, let's talk about movies at the box office this weekend. As we do every Monday morning, we look at the top 10 films of the weekend. And it looks like Pain and Gain, number one at the box office this weekend. Not a really impressive number, $20 million made it number one. But that was enough to beat out Oblivion, which made 17.4. So that put it in second place. 42 was third. The Big Wedding, with that huge cast, only made $7.5 million, making it number four. The Croods was fifth. G.I. Joe Retaliation, Scary Movie 5, Olympus Has Fallen, Place Beyond the Pines, and Jurassic Park in 3D, rounding out your top 10 at the box office. Next weekend, of course, Iron Man 3 comes out. And if the overseas market is any indicator, it's going to win all the money. It's going to break movies.
I believe that will happen. I don't know how you break movies, but...
This weekend, it made $195.3 million in overseas markets. That's better than the Avengers did when it opened last year. So,
wow. Ralph, what are you... Are you hearing that this is the last one, Ralph, or no? Iron Man.
I believe... Well, who knows? Everyone involved seems to think that they've done it. They've done their trilogy. They're happy with what they've done. Now, from now on, you'll see Iron Man in the Avengers movies and moving forward from there. But who knows? It could be a case of fatigue, too. Sometimes you get tired of doing this stuff, and then you get a year off, and you say, okay, now I'm ready to go back. But by all accounts, it was a long, arduous shoot, and Robert Downey Jr. is getting a little bit long in the tooth, and maybe he's tired of working so hard. He certainly doesn't have to now.
Sure.
He could just show up in these Avengers films and move on from there. Vampire Weekend. Are they doing anything coming up soon? Are they anything going on?
Turns out they're playing the Weenie Roast.
Yeah, it turns out they're also playing Saturday Night Live.
Oh.
They're going to be on the second to the last show of the season on May 11th as a musical guest, hosted by Kristen Wiig.
Oh, she's funny.
She is funny. It'll be great. And then Ben Affleck has agreed to host the season finale. He'll be joining the Five Timers Club as well. Fifth time hosting, along with Kanye West will be the musical guest.
Nice.
This weekend show, Saturday, with Zach Galifianakis of Monsters and Men. So a lot of Weenie Rose bands showing up on Saturday Night Live. Brian Wilson, we were talking about him last week, about the fact they're making a movie about his life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I guess Brian feels the white hot heat of the spotlight on him because he's decided to write an autobiography.
Oh, wow.
He says the book will be called I Am Brian Wilson.
Is he writing it or does he have a ghost
writer? I hope he's writing it. I don't want anyone to get near that material except for Brian.
And I would also like an audio version.
The book said will be titled I Am Brian Wilson. Reportedly, this way Brian can put it on his bookshelf and know who he is in the morning.
Let me take a look at this book. Hey, I am Brian Wilson. That's great. I'm glad to be Brian Wilson.
He said.
And they shouldn't be allowed to edit it either. It's however he types it, that's how it needs
right.
to be published.
Yes. He's already written an autobiography, by the way. I guess he
just
forgot,
yeah.
Called Wouldn't It Be Nice? But that was when he was being treated by the legendary Dr. Landy, who allegedly wrote the book for him and would never let Brian see it before it went to the publisher.
Nice.
This is what his sort of like guru and stuff, who was like running his life back in the 90s. So this will be the real deal from Brian Wilson. Expect a lot of small words.
I'm glad to hear that, because he's got a fascinating story to tell. I just fear that he probably doesn't remember it very well.
I remember everything, and we will talk about it in my book.
From crazy to crazy, Amanda Bynes. She is tweeting new pictures of herself, and if you saw it over the weekend, she's pulling a Britney. Well, she's halfway there. She shaved half of her head.
All right.
It's a good look. She said her hairdo is just like singer Cassie's now. I'm not familiar with Cassie's work, but bet she's good.
Oh, sounds sexy.
With hair like that.
Sure.
Amanda also
tweeted a video of herself just standing in front of the mirror, not saying anything, just standing there, just looking at you.
Just with that face.
With that face. It's just
those lips.
Weird.
Ugh.
Her having that face.
Ugh.
How dare she just be there with that face.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Looking all like Amanda Bynes.
Looking like her with all
She doesn't look anything like Amanda Bynes.
Pierced cheeks. Said she showed up at the gym also this weekend in white sweatpants, sunglasses, plastic shoes.
Good. for a workout.
Yeah. Everyone now, when she walks into the gym, is always waiting to see what happens next. Will she burst into tears? Will she talk to herself? Will she start to laugh? Will she smoke some pot in the corner? Will she curl up in the fetal position? You don't know what you're going to get with Amanda Bynes, and I guess that's part of the fun.
Except you know you're not going to get her working out.
No, no. Today's celebrity birthday is Tyler Labine. He is 35 years old today. Rapper Master P turns 43, as does actress Uma Thurman. Carney Wilson of Wilson Phillips. Hey, we were just talking about Brian, and this is his daughter.
Yes.
45 years old today. Eve Plum of the Brady Bunch. She was Jan, the middle Brady Girls, 55. Michelle Pfeiffer, also 55. Daniel Day-Lewis is 56. And comedian Jerry Seinfeld celebrates his 59th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Rob Delaney, comedian, in the studio. Who's now
national anthem singer at the Dodgers game? That
national
Rob Delaney?
National anthem singer. What a bizarre, bizarre turn that was.
We wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
Oh, he sounds
we
good.
Have to make him sing for us.
We do, don't we?
We have to breakfast with Rob Delaney. He singles all of his greatest hit.
What a shout out a song, and he has to sing it. Yeah.
Did you hear the tape this morning, Ralph, that I played of Rob Delaney singing?
I did.
It's crazy.
The boy's got pipes.
It's insane that he's playing it straight. It's just surreal to see him doing that.
Comedian Amy Schumer in the studio.
Oh, I love her so much.
Trying to get her for a long time. And Kat Von D, also in the studio. She's got
I love her, too.
This is going to be the Creep Fest. It's Bean Creeptastic Show. What the hell are we doing?
I hope the signal continues to work well.
How dare you?
You mean a plug might get unplugged or something
I'm
tomorrow?
I'm just saying sometimes
look,
happens.
We've had Kat Von D on tons of times. Always
it's breaking
respectful
up.
Of her.
You're breaking up.
Hey, but